Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's poppin'? This is Casanova Rudd, and you're tuned in to GQ Palace.
Back it again, I will never stop. I say switching up my sound like this, I get unorthodox. But stay true to the game, faithful to it like it's orthodox. So Christian, while you listen, I be pissing haters off a lot. Like urinals at your funeral, I picked you out a lot. That's godforsaken in the earthquake, I left an aftershock. Major mommy tsunami, hope you know she's on my job. Cause I get athletic with it, my etiquette be off the charts. Been hot since awesome to Marley, my red alert and Chuck chill out. Ever since Uncle Rob put me on video music box, killing shows at Latin Quarter. The red parrot and rooftop, known for doing the jeans, having all the girlies locked. 25 years in the game and it's still in a nigga heart. While you standing on corner staring, I'm just calling you block watch. Tenant patrol what I'm building like penthouse. I stay on top above the ground and out of jail. You know I'm thinking out the box.
This is what hip hop's about. This is what hip hop's about. This is what hip hop's about.
I got more 60s than the Army, Navy, and Marines. My mental capacity's like an unlimited magazine. To light you up and lead the way like lanterns filled with kerosene. Call your girls to jump on me, you start flipping like trampoline. Your lady mean my gift to gavel, gas her up like gasoline. Plus you kinda regular with me, you dealing with Supreme. Being coming from the old school, so I'm OGing. Off on you, pause, off on her, I'm just skeeting. I ain't messing around, if she ovulating. She calls me baby daddy, but we don't have no trick rings. Shit, I strike it down her lane, knock it down both lanes. Slide off with a cold, I guess you can call that ice skating. Nah, ma, you can't lock me down, I'm just speed dating. And if that hotel, my service will get 5-star rating. I Obama your mama, cause she said it's time for change. Casanova player, president, no need for debating.
All right. Good evening, Dons and Divas. I'm your host, Rich Money, and welcome back to another episode of GQ Palace Radio. Before we get started, I want to take this time out to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Now, last weekend, we had a great show. We had Viola Brown with the GQ General Question. Then we had up-and-coming artist K Desert from the Bronx, and we played his smashing single Burn It Up. He also explained to us what's his next move for the music industry. After K Desert, we had another up-and-coming artist, Cuddy Cud, an up-and-coming female from Chi-Town, taking the industry by storm, and we also played her smashing single Cool Off. To hear the artist's material, you can go to Reverb Nation or SoundCloud and type in GQ Palace. That's GEEQUE Palace. And listen to the artist material, and other artists that appeared on the show. After that, you can go to blogtalkradio.com and type in GQ Palace. That's GEEQUE Palace, and check out the archives. Now, tonight, we have another fabulous show for y'all. We have a special tribute to the notorious B.I.G., and we'll be playing some of his hottest material. So feel free to call in and conversate about the late Christopher Wallace, a.k.a. Frank White, a.k.a. Biggie Smalls, a.k.a. the notorious B.I.G., a.k.a. Big Papa, and a.k.a. Frankie Baby. The number to call if you like to speak about the late Christopher Wallace is 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air or stay on the line to hear the show. Now, after our tribute to Biggie Smalls, we have up-and-coming artist Busy in the building. And we will find out what's his inspiration and goals as an up-and-coming artist, and we will be playing his smashing single, Come Take a Look. After Busy, we have our first movie director, Oscar Sanders is in the building, and we will be talking to him about some of his latest materials and future projects. So stay right there and don't move. We'll be right back with our tribute to the Notorious B.I.G. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's butter, baby!
Dons and Divas, welcome back to GQ Palace. Like I said, I'm your host, Rich Money. The number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 if you want to go on the air live or stay on the line to hear the show. This is our tribute to the Notorious B.I.G. Christopher Wallace, a.k.a. Biggie Smalls, was born in Brooklyn, New York, May 21st, 1972. He was raised in Bedford Stuyvesant by his mother, Miss Wallace Elliott, which she was a preschool teacher. At the age of 17, Biggie dropped out of high school and became a drug dealer, which he proclaimed was his only source of income. Here's his single that got the nation air. This is GQ Palace and our tribute to Biggie Smalls. Love and entertainment.
Fuck all you hoes. Get a grip, motherfucker.
Yeah. This album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling in front that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter. And all the niggas in the struggle. You know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby, baby. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? The ha, you never thought that hip hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade. Born sinner, the opposite of a winner. Remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner? Piece of raw G, Brucey B, Kid Capri, Funk Master Flex, Love Bug, Star Key. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Call a crib, same number, same hood. It's all good. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. With Robin Leach, and I'm far from cheap. I smoke dope with my peeps all day. Spread love, it's the Brooklyn way. The Moet and Alizé keep me pissy. Girls used to diss me, now they write letters cause they miss me. I never thought it could happen, this rapping stuff. I was too used to packing gats and stuff. Now honeys play me close like butter play toast. From the Mississippi down to the East Coast. Condos and Queens, in dough for weeks. Sold out seats to hear Biggie Small speak. Living life without fear, putting 5 carrots in my baby girl ear. Lunches, brunches, interviews by the pool. Considered a fool cause I dropped out of high school. Stereotypes of a black male misunderstood. And it's still all good, And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this. 50-inch screen, money green, leather sofa. Got 2 rides, a limousine with the chauffeur. Phone bill about 2 G's flat. No need to worry, my accountant handles that. And my whole crew is lounging, celebrating every day, no more public housing. Thinking back on my one-room shack. Now my mom pimps the act with minks on her back. And she loves to show me off, of course. Smiles every time my face is up in the sauce. We used to fuss when the landlord dissed us. No heat, wonder why Christmas missed us. Birthdays was the worst days. Now we sip champagne when we thirsty. Damn right I like the life I live. Cause I went from negative to positive. And it's all. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. Representing B-Town in the house. Junior Mafia, last label.
welcome back to GQ Palace with our tribute to Biggie Smalls. We have a caller on the line. We're going to take that caller and get back to some music. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. What you have to say about the Notorious B.I.G.?
That's what I want to say. B.I.G., man, you know, he's my hero. You know what I mean? Like, every hood has a hero. You know, he's my hero. And when I first heard Biggie Smalls, I was like, who's this dude? Biggie Smalls. Like, the name just wasn't catching. And so, you know, I got a chance, you know, to see his video and thing, you know, after a while, to kind of like, you know, all right, Biggie Smalls, boom. Then, you know, he came out with his next joint, like, all right, cool. You know what I mean? So I'm liking the songs, but unless, I don't know, man. Biggie Smalls, you know, he was bigger than his name. He was bigger. He was bigger than what he thought he was.
Out of all his songs, which one you say was one of your best?
The one you just played. It's all good in the hood. It's juicy. Because the name Biggie Smalls was versatile. Like, for example, Michael Jackson was in that pot, the King of Pop. But Biggie, every time he run, he had a little old school, a little new school. And now he kept it real. You know what I mean? He talked about, you know, DJ Molly Mall, and you know what I mean? It's all good in the hood, taking care of the family and everything. That's what it really is about. You know what I mean? He told a story. The story he was telling, it wasn't a fantasy. He kept it real. He told what was really happening in the streets. And if he was really paying attention, if he was a Biggie fan, if I may say, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He was more like telling the world about a little something about himself. Because in my opinion, that first joint, Juicy, that's what really was about, like you mentioned. You know, in the introduction, you know what I mean? He dropped out of high school, started selling drugs as a way to get money. You know what I mean? And the hustle never stopped.
I hear you. All right. I want to thank you for calling in. If you choose to stay on the line, if you have something else to say, that's not a problem at all. All right?
All right, thanks.
All right. Biggie's career choices involve certain risks. However, soon to be an MC, Biggie took a trip to North Carolina for a routine drug exchange that landed him behind bars. The Notorious B.I.G., Christopher Wallace, made a song due to the fact of the hustling game. I want y'all to hear this. 10 Crack Commandments. This is GQ Palace and our tribute to Big Papa. Stay right there and don't move.
It's the 10 Crack Commandments. What? Man, can't tell me nothing about this coke. Can't tell me nothing about this crack, this weed, my hustling niggas. Niggas on the corner, I ain't forget you niggas. My triple B niggas. I've been in this game for years. It made me an animal, it's rules to this shit. I wrote me a manual, a step-by-step booklet for you to get your game on track, not your wig pushed back. Rule number uno, never let no one know how much dough you hold, cause you know that try to breed jealousy, especially if that man fucked up. Get your ass stuck up. Number two, never let them know your next move. Don't you know bad boys move in silence and violence? Take it from your hands. I done squeeze mad clips at these cats for they bricks and chips. Number three, never trust nobody. Your mama set that ass up, properly gassed up, hoodies and masked up. For that fast buck, she be laying in the bushes to light that ass up. Number four, know you heard this before. Never get high on your own supply. Number five, never sell no crack where you rest at. I don't care if they want an ounce, tell them bounce. Number six, that goddamn credit, get it. You take a crackhead paying your back, shit, forget it. Seven, this rule is so underrated. Keep your family and business completely separated. Money and blood don't mix like two dicks and no bitch. Find yourself in serious shit. Number eight, never keep no weight on you. Them cats that squeeze your guns can hold jumps too. Number nine should have been number one to me. If you ain't getting bad, say the fuck the police. If niggas think you're snitching, they ain't trying to listen. They be sitting in your kitchen, waiting to start hitting. Number 10, a strong word called consignment. Strictly for live men, not for freshmen. If you ain't got the clientele, say hell no. Cause they gon' want their money, rain, sleep, hell no. Follow these rules, you have mad bread to break up. If not, 24 years on the wake up. Slug hit your temple, watch your frame shake up. Caretaker hit your makeup. When you pass, your girl fuck my man Jacob. Heard in 3 weeks she sniffed a whole half a cake up. Heard she suck a good dick, heck a hook a steak up. Gotta go, more pasta bake up. Word up, Crack King, Frank Wizard.
All right, Donovan Peoples. Christopher Wallace named himself Biggie because of his weight. He was an Afro-American that stand 6 feet, 3 inches, and weighed over 400 pounds. Here's another classic by the Black Frank White. This is GQ Palace, our tribute to the Notorious B.I.G. It's Butter, baby.
Allow me to lace these lyrical douches in your bushes. Who rock grooves and make moves with all the mommies? The back of the club, sipping my wetness where you find me. The back of the club, macking holes, my crew's behind me. Mad question asking, blood passing, music lasting. But I just can't quit because one of these homies Biggie got to creep with, sleep with, keep the F a secret. Why not? Why blow up my spot? Cause we both got hot. Now check it. I got more Max and Craig and in the bed. Believe me, sweetie, I got enough to feed the needy. No need to be greedy. I got mad friends with Benz that see notes by the layers. True fucking player. Jump in the Rover and come over. Tell your friends, jump in the GF3. I got the chronic by the tree. Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
I love it when you call me Big Poppa.
To the honeys getting money, playing niggas like dummies.
I love it when you call me Big Poppa.
You gotta come up in your waist, please don't shoot up the place.
Why?
Cause I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby. Baby. Straight up, honey, really, I'm asking. Most of these niggas think they be macking, but they be acting. Who they attracting with that line? What's your name? What's your sign? Soon as he buy that wine, I just creep up from behind and ask you what your interests are. Who you be with? Things to make you smile. What numbers to dial? You gon' be here for a while. I'm gon' call my crew. You gon' call your crew. We can rendezvous at the bar around 2. Plans to leave. Throw the keys to little C. Pull the truck up front and roll up the next block so we can steam on the way to the telly. Gon' fill my belly. A T-bone steak, cheese, eggs, and Welch's grape. Conversate for a few, cause in a few we gon' do what we came to do. Ain't that right, boo? Forget the telly, we just go to the crib and watch a movie in the jacuzzi. Smoke L's while you do
me. I love it when you call me Big Poppa.
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
I love it when you call me Big Poppa.
To the honey getting money, playing niggas like dummies.
I love it when you call me Big Poppa.
You got a gun up in your waist, please don't shoot up the place.
Why?
Cause I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby. Baby.
How you living, Biggie Smalls?
Imagine in business, giving ends to my friends, and it feels stupendous. Tremendous cream, fuck a dollar and a dream. Still tote gas strapped with infrared beams.
What?
Chopping O's, smoking line optimals. Money, hoes, and clothes, all a nigga knows. A foolish pleasure, whatever. I had to find the buried treasure.
What?
So grams I had to measure. However, living better now, coochie sweater now. Drop top BMs, I'm the mad girlfriend.
Honey, check it. Tell your friends to get with my friends. We could be friends. Shit, we could do this every weekend.
That's right.
Alright? Is that alright with you? Yeah. Keep banging.
I love it when you call me Big Poppa.
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
I love it when you call me Big Poppa.
To the honeys getting money, playing niggas like dummies. You got the gun up in your waist, please don't shoot up the place. Cause I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby, baby.
Can't breathe, mad tricks up the sleeve. Wear boxes so my dick can breathe. Breeze through with
Your life is played out like Parmae and the fucking polka dots. Who rocks the spot? Biggie, you know how the weed go. Unbelievable.
Number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air live and tell us your comments and how you felt about Biggie Smalls, or you can stay on the line and hear the show. Now, Biggie Smalls got married to Faith Evans 9 days after he met her. On August 4th, 1994, the notorious B.I.G. and Faith Evans was married. Here's another classic from the notorious one.
They don't get Nathan, but penetration. Unless it smells like sanitation. Garbage, I turn like doorknobs. Heart throb never. Black and ugly as ever. However, I say Gucci down to the socks. Rings and watch filled with rock. Am I jam not even Mitsubishi? Girls pee-pee when they see me. Never creep me and they see pee. As I lay down laws like Island Coppins. stop it. If you think you're gonna make a profit, don't see my ones, don't see my guns. Get it? Now tell your friends, Papa hit it, then split it in two as I flow with the Junior Mafia. I don't know what the hell's stopping ya. I'm clocking ya, Versace shade watching ya. Once the grin, I'm in game begin. First I talk about how I dress is this and diamond necklaces, stretch Lexus is the sex, just immaculate. From the back I get deeper and deeper, help you reach the climax that your man can't make. Call him, tell him you be home real late and sing the break. I got that good love, girl, you didn't know. Think of that song on how it's so long. Thought he worked his until I handled my biz. There I is, made the pain like Damon Wayne. Slow down dirty even like his brother Keenan Seaman. Don't leave your girl around me, true player for real. Act Puff Daddy. You bringing bells with bags from Chanel. Baby Ben's traded in your Hyundai XL. Fully equipped CD changer with the cell. GV, me at 12. Where you at? Flipping job, playing car notes. While I'm swimming in your women like the breaststroke. Right stroke, left stroke, what's the best stroke? Death stroke, tongue all down the throat. Nothing left to do but send her home to you. I'm through. Can you sing a song for me, boo?
I got that good song, girl, you didn't know.
We can cruise the world with pearls, data boots for girls, the envy of all women, crushed linen, Cartier wristwear with diamonds in it, the finest women I love with the passion, your man's a wimp, I get that ass a good thrashing, high fashion, flying in the Allstate, sexing me while your man, isn't this great, your flight leaves at 8, a flight lands at 9, my game just rewind. Lyrically, I'm supposed to represent, I'm not only a client, I'm the player president.
I got that good love, girl, you didn't know. I got that good love, girl, you didn't know.
It was all a dream.
Last night I had a dream. Thoughts was racing through
my head. It was all a dream.
Felt so real to me. This is what was
said. Had a dream, I said, by who he said, by Big I said, that Big he said, did what he said, proceed he said, indeed I said, so breathe I said, don't repeat what I say, I said, he said nothing, he agreed with it, said, he just nodded like this, what I believe to be a yes, I repeated what was said, it came to me like a whisper, but last evening I said, the still playboy was the greeting, he said, first thing I wanted to know was the reason he was dead, more money, more problems, better believe it, he said. Careful what you wish for, you might receive it, he said. I see, I said. Jealousy, I said. Got the whole industry mad at me, I said. To me, I said. Hold, remind yourself. Nobody built like you. You design yourself.
It was all a dream, like Big said it be. Martin Luther King had a dream. Aaliyah had a dream. Left Eye had a dream. I had dreams of fucking an R&B bitch like Maya. When I saw that ass on the front of that King, read the article in the magazine. She loved gangsters, loved nasty things. So I'm in the glass house having nasty dreams. Good girls never give it up, but anything is possible. If 50 fuck Vivica, hurdle life obstacle. obstacles, found my way through the maze. Then joy turned to pain like Frankie Beverly and Maze. Used to dream of being unsigned hype till I was crushed by Dave Mays. Almost let my pen fall asleep on the page. Daydreaming yesterday, dozing off backstage. I thought I saw Easy talking to Jam Master J. So I walked over, heard Jam Master say, it's a hard knock life, then you pass away. They say sleep is the cousin of death, so my eyes wide open, cause the dream is kin to your last breath. It was all a dream, like Big said it be. Martin Luther King had a dream. Aaliyah had a dream. Les Brown had a dream.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Marley Marl. I let my tape rock to my tape pop. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? The ha, you never thought that hip-hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade. Born sinner, the opposite of a winner. Remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner? Beast of Raw G, Brucey B, Kid Capri. Funk Master Flex, Love Bug, Starsky. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Call a crib, same number, same hood. It's all good, 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 good. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga.
Was it all a dream? Was it a dream?
Was it all a dream?
Was it all a dream?
It was all a dream, like Big said it be. Martin Luther King had a dream. Aaliyah had a dream. Les Brown had a dream.
Now, Biggie Smalls got his nickname Biggie Smalls from the gangster character played by Kevin Lockhart in the film Let's Do It Again in 1975. The name was trademarked years ago by somebody else. So Christopher Wallace then changed his name to the Notorious B.I.G. This is our tribute to the Black Frank White, GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Detroit players, Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn.
That's
dead right, it's the head right, Biggie there, air night. Papa been smooth since days of under rules. Never lose, never choose to. Bruise, cruise, who? Do something to us.
Come on.
Talk, go through us.
Do it.
Girls want to us, wanna do us, screw us, who us? Yeah, Papa and Pop. Close like Starsky and Hutch, stick to clutch. Yeah, I squeeze three at your cherry M3. Bang every MC
take that.
Easily.
Take that.
Recently, niggas frontin' ain't saying nothing, so I just speak my peace. Keep my peace. Cubans with the Jesus peace.
Thank
with
you.
My peace. Packing, asking who want it. They got it, nigga flaunt it. That Brooklyn bullshit, we on it.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so mean. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so mean.
I put O's in NY onto DKNY. Miami, D.C., prefer Versace.
That's right.
All Philly hoes know it's Moschino. Every cutie with the booty for the coochie. Now who's the real dookie? Meaning who's really the shit? The niggas ride dick. Frank White push the stick. Called the Max LX. 4.5. Bulletproof glass tips if I want some ass. Gone blast, sweet sir. Ask questions last. That's how most of these so-called gangsters act. At last, a nigga rapping about blunts and bras. Tits and bras. Menage a trois. Sex and expensive cars. And still leave you on the pavement. Condo paid for. No car payment. That's my arraignment. No for the plaintiff. Your daughter's tied up in the Brooklyn basement. Face it. Not guilty. That's how I stay true. Richer than richer. So you niggas come and get me.
Come on.
Can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me, and I just love your.
can fill you with real millionaire shit. That's cargo, my cargo, 160, swiftly. Wreck it by your new one. Your crew run, 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 your crew run. I know you sick of this lame brand. Nigga with flows, girl, stay heat. Sweet like licorice. So get with this, nigga, it's easy. Girlfriend, here's a pen. Call me round 10. Come through, have sex on rough, that's Persian. Come up to your job, hit you while you're working. For certain, pop a freaking, not speaking. Leave the ass leaking like rapper demo. Tell them who, take their clothes off slowly. Kill them with the force like Kobe. Dick black like Kobe. Watch me roam like Kobe. Lucky they don't owe me. Where the safe, show me, homie.
Homie.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess it's why they're broken, you're so vain. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess it's why they're broken, you're so vain. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess it's why they're broken, you're so vain.
Got on your head too. Oh, shit.
At one point, Biggie Smalls and Tupac Shakur was in fact originally good friends. He would call Tupac Duke, and Tupac would call him Christopher. However, when Tupac got shot 5 times and robbed at gunpoint for $40,000 worth of jewelry at the Quad Recording Studio in Manhattan, Tupac Shakur blamed Biggie Smalls, and it was said he believed Biggie had something to do with it. Just after Tupac Shakur was shot, Biggie released a song, "Who Shot Ya?" and explained it was recorded before the shooting and had nothing to do with it. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's Butter, baby.
Eat.
for business instead of game. Biggie attended George Westinghouse High School in Brooklyn, New York, with fellow rapper Jay-Z and Busta Rhymes. His album, Life After Death, is certified diamonds. This means it sold more than 10 million copies. His first recording deal was with Uptown Records in 1993. It was said Kimberly Little Kim Jones was his girlfriend at the time of his death. This is GQ Palace, and our tribute to the Notorious B.I.G.
Every week for nothing. They're wasting their time.
My
car is a family man. They keep bringing him up here. What's going on here?
Have you heard what you did to women and children?
One more outburst like that, and you will all go to jail.
I'll apologize, Your Honor.
I apologize.
Yeah, yo, she ain't clear.
You wanna sit more on my living room floor? Play Nintendo, it's season me home. Pick up my phone, say, Papa not home. Sex all night, bad head in the morning. Spin my beads, smoke all my weed. Catch you on Tata, sing a big pop on. I take it, you wanna be my main sweet baby. Don't you, you wanna give me what I need, baby. Don't you, picture life as my wife, just think. Foot left, me, fat, X, and old mix. Breakfast to max, conversation was all that. Showed you the same combinations and all that. Guess you could say you the one I trusted. Who would ever think that you would spread like mustard? Things got hot, you sent fans to my spot. Took me to court, tried to take all my got. Nothing tricky plot, the tramp said I raped her. Damn, why she wanna take me for my paper? My mosquito hole, my Versace, I see. Come to find out, she was hitting everybody. You knew about me, the fake ID. Cases in Virginia, body in D.C. Don't always be.
What
I get for tricking, came out of $1 million. The me no more. Disrespect my clip, my game imperial. Mess around and made a milk box material. You feel me stealing chips, running your lips, cause of you, I'm on some real. What you say,
and divas. Christopher Wallace, a.k.a. Big Papa, was attending the Soul Train Music Awards and went to the after party hosted by Vibe Magazine and Quest Records. He was shot several times while sitting in an SUV. He was pronounced deceased March 9, 1997, 15 years as of today's date. Christopher Wallace's music still lives on. The message he sent in his lyrics has amazing style and flow. His energy as an entertainer on stage and his unique format. Christopher Wallace, a.k.a. Big Papa, a.k.a. the Black Frank White, a.k.a. the Notorious B.I.G., a.k.a. Frankie Baby, and a.k.a. Biggie Smalls, is the greatest of all times, and his music will live on forever. Rest in peace, Christopher Wallace, gone but never forgotten. This is our tribute to the Notorious B.I.G. from GQ Palace. Stay tuned, because coming up next, Busy, an up-and-coming artist from New Orleans, to tell us what's his next step in the music industry. And we will also be playing his smashing single, Come Take a Look. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's fire, baby!
The music just turns me on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, boy.
So why is it got to be so damn
tough? Check this out.
Thank you.
DJ Darwin exclusive mix.
All right, Dawes and Divas, welcome back to GQ Palace. I want to apologize for the technical difficulty of going in and out. And a special shout out to Violetta Wallace, Viola Wallace, Biggie Small's mother. Now, welcome back. And with me right now, I have Busy. Busy, welcome to the show.
Yo, what's good?
Yeah, Busy, I got to apologize to you about that. You know what I mean? I do apologize on the mistake of your name. Busy, you know?
Right.
But what's going on?
I'm good, man. What's good?
You know, same old. Nothing changed but the day and the weather.
That's it.
But we're going to get into you right now. Because you're doing big things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're doing real big things.
Yeah.
Singles is crazy.
Thank
and they about to hit. You doing it big right now. You know what I mean? Now, you was born in New Orleans. How was it growing up? Yeah. How was it growing up out there? Tell us a little bit about it.
Man, I mean, you know, it's a typical city, you know, city life or whatever, you know, nightlife. Like I said, I did the music thing. I got into the music thing at a very early age. New Orleans is my culture. You know what I mean? Like, it's no place like New Orleans. Like, you know, I mean, I'm not to down nobody else city, but like people come here and think that, you know, Mardi Gras is just that particular day. Mardi Gras is like almost every weekend now.
Yeah. Oh wow!
Right.
So, yeah, it's crazy out there.
Right.
Definitely crazy. Now, what made you decide to want to get into the rap music?
The first time I tried to rap, it was like almost like a little poem, I heard somebody say something like, you know, roses are red, violets are blue type of rap. And then I did one and I was like, this don't sound too hot. But then I heard the world is mine, it's mine, whose world is this, that, that, nine.
Oh, nice.
And then I wrote my very first rap off of that song. And then I just kept going into it, like playing with it, like, you know, adding on to what I was saying, adding on to it became like, you know, one long rap. And then I was like, you know what, I like this. Like, it was my passion, because then at that time, then I learned, you know, it's a thought process. So I like to think when I write. So I don't just go off and just write whatever I feel for that day. I like to think and sit down and have everything like mapped out before I go actually make a song. You know what I mean?
I feel you. So you could say, in a way, it was like, who world is this that really caught your ear
right to
get into that rap music?
Right.
Wow. Now, you first started performing in talent shows in your junior high school, Tell us about that experience. Was it like a nervous feeling, or did you just get on the stage and just do what you got to do?
Well, you know, like, by me being in different talent shows, I was kind of used to it because my junior high, you know, it was like almost like performing in front of family. So, you know, everybody know you can rap, so it's just okay, whatever. You know, you just rap and you let them hear what you got to say, and everybody like, oh, that was hot, you know, whatever. But then it became more complicated when you go into high school and you still in junior high and you rapping and everybody looking at you like he didn't write that, you know, like he didn't do that, like, yeah. So it was kind of hard because people didn't believe that I was rapping. Like honestly, I'm talking 96, I'm talking 97, 98. I was rapping like I'm rapping now, back in them days. And, you know,
wow,
that was when Cash Money, that's when Cash Money was hard. So nobody ain't really, like, care for my rap because I had that New York flow, you know what I'm saying, with the down south flow. So people like, I don't like that. Nobody ain't writing that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he ain't writing that. Somebody, he stole that from this one and he stole that from that one. So, yeah.
Meanwhile, you had your own style and your own format coming out with something totally different.
Right.
But mainly, they couldn't understand it.
Right.
So that's how it usually is. When somebody come up with that new format and everything, you know, usually catch their ear, then they sit and they think about it. Then what happened was, as it grows, they'd be like, wow, I remember when such and such did that same format.
Right.
You know? Now, you made a name for yourself by entering a rap battle over the phone on a local radio station, Q93, called 9 o'clock plots. How did you get involved with that?
I used to listen to it a lot. And I used to hear everybody rapping on it, and it was like the people that would win. Not to insult nobody, but the people that would win, I was like, dude, like if I would have called him, I would have smashed him. Like, you know, like, are you serious? So then I called one day, and I was like, you know, I want to do the 9 o'clock props, and it was like, okay, let me hear what you got. So I spit my rap, and while Wayne, the host, was like, wow. So he was like, okay, I went on, and every time I went on, I smashed somebody, and it became to the point where I wouldn't even battle rap nobody. I was just going on there rapping stories and still winning.
Yeah, because they actually named you the king of the props.
The props, yeah. It was me and this other guy. I'll never forget this. It was me and this other guy. His name was Lil Red. And back in them days, he was rapping like Bone Thugs and Harmony. Like, he was rapping fast and, you know, like whatever, whatever. So it was the night we never met up. For some reason, we never met up for years. And that night we met up, oh, my God, it was, like, hot. Like, he couldn't even play the music because people kept calling, like, we want busy, we want red, we want busy. Like, it was, and I ended up winning, and that's when I retired. I was like, I'm not doing it no more. It's time for me to step my game up and start making mixtapes.
Yeah, I feel you. So at that time, when you was battling, but it was like, you know, he was right there with you, but you still wound up coming out with that title and everything.
Right. I mean, this was going on for since junior high school, because we actually went to the same junior high school together. So battle rapping this dude was not like nothing new, but it was like to prove a point. Like, I had to prove a point to him that I was better than him. And like in his eyes, he would not believe that, like, for nothing.
Wow. Right. That's how you got to do it sometimes. Now, in 2001, you got with a group called the Outfitters.
Yeah, man, that was
crazy. How did y'all get together?
Well, the Outfitters basically came it was me and my cousin. And we started off with just me and him, and we didn't have a name for it. So a guy named Paradox, the one who actually did my single, Wanna Know You, he make beats now. He rap, but he basically focused on the music now. But he wanted to be a part of it. So he was like, dude, like, you know, I just won't be down with y'all. Y'all cool. You know, y'all got this flow I never heard before, you know, whatever, whatever. I'm like, all right, cool. So we need a name. So we was on our road to Texas on a little summer vacation, and we was like, we're going to be the Outfitters because we could get on anybody's beat, and we could do whatever. Mm-hmm. We could do the same thing they're doing. Nobody can't do that but us. So we was like, we're going to be the Outfitters. So that name stuck with us. And then my other cousin from Seattle flew in, and he lived with me a couple of months in New Orleans. So we added him to the group. His name was Iceberg, Young Miz, you know, whatever he wanted to call himself. And we all got together, and we formed the Outfitters. We did, we did three mixtapes together. And then Montana, which is my closest, the one who I started it with, him and Paradox fell out the group. They fell out the group. They ain't want to do it no more for whatever, you know, reasons. And then me and Young Miz did a mixtape called The Interview Part 1. It was just an interview, but me and him, like, killing everything that was hot at the time. We had, like, 21 songs, and, like, we killed everything that, yeah, like, we was going ham. So we killed everything did that, and then he wound up moving back to Seattle, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to just do my own mixtape, and that's when I did the Interview 1.
Interview 2 stories. Yeah, because in 2005, that's when you released your solo mixtape, Interview 2.
Yeah.
True story.
Yeah.
How did that turn out?
The Interview 2 True Story basically went through that whole two-year span, from the 2002 when everything fell to where I was at that point. And I just wanted everybody to know that it wasn't no I don't like you and we don't get along type of thing. It was just like a process. Like, certain people that felt like I was the shot, like I was the light, and they wanted the light. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't never look at it like that. I always looked at it like I'm a team player. Till this day, I'm a team player, and I'm a solo artist. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to do whatever it takes to make my name big, your name big, the team big, whatever I'm involved with at the time. And that kind of like got in the way of everything. I mean, till this day, we still love each other because we cousins. You know what I'm saying? We all related. And like I said, Paradox is a good friend of ours. So we all get along for that sake, but the music thing just wasn't like, you know, I was focused on the team. They was like, okay, he's getting all the recognition, why not us? You know what I'm saying? So, and Young Miz still doing his music.
So in a way, it was like a jealousy thing, you could say.
Right, right.
Well, you know, it happens when, you know, it's just like when you got a singer of a group, they get more attention. If you're the background, you're not going to get that much attention, you know what I mean?
Right.
So that's what people need to understand about when you perform a group. The leader is going to always get the most attention from the crowd because that's who the crowd is mainly singing.
Right.
You understand? It ain't that you don't exist. It's just that that person in the front is there more often. It's like a friend coming to your house constantly. You know what I mean? So a lot of people don't understand that.
Right.
But I want to get into one of your singles titled Over. Ooh.
Yeah.
What is the format behind that?
Over was actually my real life situation, a real relationship that went bad, and I tried to make it work. I actually have a prequel to that. It's called Mr. Wrong. It's off of you know that song Drake did, Best I Ever Had. That song is actually off of that song, and it's a song that kind of let the female know that what I was going through. Like, I don't mind playing Mr. Wrong, you know what I'm saying, but, like, I can only do it for so long, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm not going to fuck with you, you know, like, I'm going to just let everything go, you know, we're going to make this work. And it got to the point where, like, I just want it to be over now, like, just let everything be over. Like, I don't want to deal with you no more, you know, you go your way, I go my way. And I wrote everything on the song, the singing. Like, I don't sing, I don't want y'all to think I sing, but I don't sing, so I wrote the singing, and I wrote, you know, the raps, my own lyrics, and I formatted the whole song and everything. And actually, I'm about to shoot a video for that next week.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because you went in on that one. You definitely went in on that one. I ain't even lying to you. So we're going to get into that right now.
Yeah.
All right, Dons and Divas, the number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1. To speak to Busy or stay on the line to hear the show. This is one of his smashing singles, Over. Remember where you heard it first. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
It's butter, baby!
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
You got my ears, know what to say. Oh no, don't blame me. Don't even try to sing that song. When you was playing Mrs. Right, then I was okay with Mr. Vaughn. Oh, my system table, you DJ your favorite song. Lights down low with the candles lit, with my favorite fragrance on. What you trying to do, you gon' make this work. You gon' mess around and have me late for work. And you appreciate me when I was here. So let your newborn be the jerk. You can smile and you can smirk. Doing all that, trying to hide that hurt. Don't ever hold your breath for me. Your new name shall be Smurf. On that independent, but you ain't be homie. Talking about if I like it, then I should put a ring on it.
Yeah, that's
life.
Just want it to be over.
Oh, just wait, the beg and bleed. Talking about, oh yeah, I was just mad. You always say, I'm cheeky and selfish, so I'ma give you a cheek to kiss my. Whatever you do, I'ma do it better. Here's a cold world, hope you got a little sweater. All that hype, the lights and faint. But knowing damn well you can't play in cold weather. Get off my sleeves, get off your knees. I already told you, none of that works. I always told you, you never act off for emotion. It's only gonna make things worse. High moves on, can't you see? When you gon' get the business, you don't got OG. Have a pity party, I ain't invited. How they get a go out, so they gave you the crease, trying to make me mad. Come on, ma. Fill it out all on Facebook, posting up videos. Mama always told me you never buy ever farm milk. You ain't even worth these stereos. Just saying that the all
all I've done. Nobody could have told me you would have been the one. And all I asked was for a little consideration. But if it ain't about you, then it ain't getting done. That's the reason I'm here. Why you there? My heart gone cold, no feelings of death. But ever since you heard that I moved on, now you want to act like you care.
Out of the lane, out of the lane. Just want it to be over.
Compared to the raps that's out now?
Do I feel my lyrics?
Do you feel like your lyrics can compare to the rap that's out now?
Oh, no. No, I honestly, like I said, I don't like to try to offend. I don't want nobody to think I'm like stepping on toes or trying to step on nobody. But I don't even listen to rap right now. I don't even listen to rap. Like, the only person I really listen to as far as rap, and people may not like what he do, is Drake. And I like Drake because he's not about the, I got the rims that's this big or my money is like this and I got this, you know, B-I-T-C-H over here. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't have a problem with expressing your feelings if you feel like that's what the female is at the moment. But, I mean, like, not to just be saying it on every song, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But as far as music-wise, I listen to, like, Corinne Bailey Rae, Adele, Estelle, like stuff like that. And it helped me soothe my mind because that way I can think instead of trying to compare myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm.
So with this video that's coming up, will the ex be in the video or no?
That's a good question.
I mean, like, since it's over, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Nah, she won't be in the video. I actually have a young lady by the name of Aviana Marie. If you look on Facebook, you'll see her name is Aviana Marie. She's she played in Final Destination 4. She's playing the leading lady in the video.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, keep up. I mean, that was a beautiful song.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. If you want to, it's the actual mixtape is on datpiff.com. Just look up Never Too Busy, NEVA, number 2, BUZY, and all the songs is on there.
All right, Busy. Take care and always put God first.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
No problem.
All right, we have another caller on the line for you, Busy. Caller, are you there?
Yeah.
Here.
You have Busy on the line?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. I would definitely say that single will definitely be a hit. So many people can relate to that of just wanting someone to get out of their life. Like,
right.
Over and see you later.
Right. Just want it to be over. Like, you know, don't let's not fuss, let's not fight. You go your way, I go mine, and, you know, leave peacefully, you know?
Right, no argument necessary, just go.
Right.
And I definitely agree with you that the ex should not be in the video because part of the song, says, get out of my life.
right.
So So why put her on the spotlight of putting her on the video? No, let her
right.
go.
Yeah, I mean, she don't need the attention. I'm trying to get the shine, not her, you know?
Exactly, exactly. Well, like I said, it's definitely a hit, and please keep GQ Palace posted.
Oh, thank you, thank you. And make sure you keep listening, because there has a couple of more songs that you'll probably be blown away by.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Thank you, I will. Okay.
Now, Busy.
Yeah.
I know you lost a very special person in your life, and you know what my condolences. And you wasn't doing music for a while.
Right.
Now, at that time, did you become, like, blocked with music when you decided to do it again? Did you have, like, a writer's block?
No. Honestly, what happened is the day that my mom passed, I wrote a song. You ever heard the Kanye West album, Heartbreaks, I believe that's the name of it?
Okay.
In the song, Say You Will, when he playing like the, it sound like the little heart monitor playing. You ever heard that song?
I'm going to.
It sounds like, you know, the heart monitor when you're in the hospital. It's that playing in the background, and it's like a heartbeat. It's the beat. And the day my mom passed, I wrote a song to it. Like, it just came to me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I had, and my family told me, like, I can't tell, you know, I can talk to her, but, like, everybody know that I deal with my feelings through music. Like, everything that I rap about is real. It's nothing authentic. Fake, I'm about to say authentic. But nothing's fake, you know, like, everything that I tell you or everything that I rap about is really real. It's things that I go through. So when my mom passed, it kind of, like, made me stop and think about everything, like, because my mom passed all of a sudden. It wasn't like she was going through something or she was sick. It's just like she just passed and just left.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy because I used to talk to my mama every day. If it was her calling, cursing me out, you know, joking around or whatever, every day
yeah.
I talked to my mom. And that day I didn't talk to her not one time. So I think that
wow.
you know, by her leaving like that, it kind of like made me, it kind of, was better. I think it was better because I felt like I think that if I would have talked to her and knowing that I had just talked to her, it probably would have been like, you know what I mean? Like, it probably would have been harder for me. But,
yeah,
when she passed, like, everything just, like, kind of went to a standstill. And I just started looking at life, you know, like, I have kids, you know, like, things I need to be healthy for those, you know, for them, because every day is not promised. You know,
exactly.
Every day is not promised. So with the music, it kind of like that. It didn't go to a standstill because of my mom passing. The music went to a standstill because I started being more involved with my kids. You know, like, I had to make sure that everything was on track with them. I didn't want to steal away from them and be focused on the music. But now that my kids understand and they love my music, like, my kids is from the age of 10 to 4, and they love my music. And I don't want people to think, you know, like, I do curse in my music. But I don't want people to think that, you know, I sit up. I want my children to understand music is music. Music is one thing, life is another. You know what I'm saying? So the people
exactly.
that are around here that don't let their kids listen to rap because this, that, this, and the third. I mean, even if you try to hide that from them, some society is still out there. So you can't hide them from society.
Mm-hmm. But they can't state all raps because some raps state their life. Some rappers state their life in their music, and they give messages. You
right.
understand? You also have some that just talk about the materialistic, and you have some that just talk about nothing at all.
Right.
You know?
And
so,
and
in a way, go ahead.
No, I was about to say, and that's all because of people don't take music as serious as real artists. You know, some people call themselves rappers, and they get the right connection, they have the money, so they just put out whatever they feel, and they think that it's a hit. And people like me, that's artists that's actually been doing this, that's going through it, that's sitting down writing, taking their time, grinding, hitting the streets, going here and there. You know, like they don't see that same recognition.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. Now, what I want to ask you is, after being out of music for so long, you know, due to the fact of the situation, you know, once again, my condolences. What made you decide to get back into the music scene?
Because I started being depressed. Like, I just started seeing things that was like I told you, my relationship situation, and it was like I couldn't find happiness. Like, my kids was my joy, but as me being a man, like, what makes Busy happy? You know what I mean? So I knew it made me happy, you know. And it was the music. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going back to it, and this is what I'm about to do. And I just went full-fledged with it.
Okay. Now, what would you consider your best qualifications as being an up-and-coming artist?
I'm new school because people never heard of me, but I'm the rap that you want to hear. It's not the rap that's like just because I'm from the South, I'm a talk about what I have. Like I actually tell stories. Like, you know, that's back in the day. That's what they used to do back in the day. So I take the new era rap and put it in a story form so people can still relate to it. You know what I'm saying? Because certain people, like, that's all they want to hear is the beat. They want to hear the beat and the hook, the beat and the hook. Well, I can give you the beat and the hook and tell and talk to you at the same time. That's my way of getting your attention. Because you're going to want to hear something that's just catchy, like the Over song. You want to hear something that's catchy, but at the same time, once you heard the hook and you're like, wow, the hook nice, okay, I start rapping. You can't listen to what I'm saying now. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Now, if you had the chance to work with any artist in the music industry, who would it be and why?
It has to be one.
Who would it be and why?
honestly, I like different. So I'm gonna have to go with Corinne Bailey Rae.
Okay.
I like
why is
like,
that?
Because like I mean. Her music, like her messages through her music, is never what you think it is. Like, it's always like she have New York nights, Paris mornings, New York nights, and I'm like, you know, like the concept of the whole song was just like basically her saying, this is what I go through every night. I leave from here and go there. I'm like, that's you know, like that's me. That's how my music is. Like people, when people see this Over video. Like my and that's another thing. I direct my own videos. Like,
okay.
You may see somebody say directed by, but I came up with the whole concept of everything. Like my first video was Wanna Know You. Like the whole concept of Wanna Know You came from me. You know what I'm saying? Like this is how I wanted my video to look, and he shot it and put, you know, directed by, you know, Jonathan and Isaac Jackson. Over is the same way. He's shooting the video again, but I came up with the whole concept for it. So when you see Over is going to really put you like, wow, this guy's real, you know, I believe in what I do. I just don't do it.
I feel you. And we definitely got to check that joint out. For real.
Yeah.
Well, what I want to do right now is get into another one of your singles.
This single
right here, you killing it. I mean, you just like, come take a look. What made you name this single that title?
Because like I told you, like, well, a lot of people don't know. We have I don't know if you ever heard of bounce music.
Yes.
All right, bounce music is New Orleans. You know, that's what we do. Like, that's us.
Yes, you got that bounce where, you know.
Right.
Okay. So
and,
the bounce and that.
Right. So New Orleans, like, with the bounce thing moving down here in New Orleans, it's like nobody pays attention to the real music. So now I'm like, come take a look. Like come see what I have to offer. So it's like, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. And then I just ripped it, killed it, left everything out.
Ain't no question about it. You did. And you know what? I'm going to let you introduce it. Go ahead. Do your thing.
Yeah. This is my hot single off the Never Too Busy mixtape. It's called Come Take a Look with Drake on a hook sampled from Drake from Baby and Drake. I want to say, what's the name of that song? I can't think of it, but yeah, hot single, busy. Come take a look, check that joint out.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Guess what? I made it. I'm the motherfucker. I just want you to see. Guess what? I made it. I'm the motherfucker. I just want you to see. Come take a look. 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 Guess what? I made it. I'm the motherfucker. I just want you to see. Guess what? I made it. I'm the motherfucker. I just want you to see. Come take a look. 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 Come take a look.
What's up with all of these haters? Looking at me, y'all stupid. Walking around y'all high-headed. Somebody please tell them cool it. Look at, I'm not for all of that dumb shit.
mild manner like Clark Kent. People don't try to play Superman and get tossed and found. Lost limb, Vegas always the biggest. Mike Jackson won't start something. Thinking this is a game till he realized that there is no pause button. Haters talk behind your back and wanna talk it out like a chick. But my goons blind to that fact, so they walk around with that stick. Yeah, haters talk too much, but my people, yeah, we hands on. Chopper big as a Thailand, them bullets big as a tampon. Just imagine if they hit you. Doctor got to spend days with you. Only thing that I could say is, yes, you just met Brandon.
Guess what? I made it. I'm the motherfucker. I just want you to see. Guess what? I made it. I'm the motherfucker. I just want you to see. Come take a look. 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 Guess what? I made it. I'm the motherfucker. I just want you to see. Guess what? I made it. I'm the motherfucker. I just want you to see. Come take a look. 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 Come take a look.
Ain't too much that I take to heart. I take actions when necessary. You can pop one of them courage pills and they'll end up reading your obituary. What's wrong with y'all? Can't y'all see this what I do? Getting sick and tired of all these rack rappers. Always say stupid shit that ain't true. I'm gonna clear this once and for all. I don't even see what all the hype be about. The dude said that it can't fit a little bit. So now y'all wanna go and try to wipe his mouth. I do this, forget your name. If he still plays, forget your main. And it don't even gotta be a rush hour for you to understand what it is I'm saying. I do this, man, I'm me. The same dude here is when I'm on TV. And if you ask anybody who's he, watch what it is they gotta say about me. Yeah, I do this with my eyes closed, handcuffed and blindfold. Everything I do stick and move, cause I stay in grind mode.
Guess what, I made it, I'm the motherfucker. I just want you to see, guess what, I made it, I'm the motherfucker. I just want you to see, come take a look. Come take a look, 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 guess what, I made it, I'm the motherfucker. I just want you to see, guess what, I made it, I'm the motherfucker. I just want you to see. Come take a look. 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 Come take a look.
Wow. All right, Dons and Divas. I see y'all all on the line. If you want to speak to Busy, dial 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air. Busy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, come take a look. That's definitely that bounce flow. You could feel it in the club. Ain't no question about it.
Yeah.
No question about it. Now, let me ask you, who does your production? Do you have one specific producer, or do you deal with random producers?
Yeah, I deal with random producers. What I do is, like, just to show you how serious I am about my music, I go, you know what a SoundClick is, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I go on SoundClick and I buy the tracks that I want. Like, it ain't no leasing and all, I buy them, like, you know, because I want all my rights to everything. Like, yeah, you can get your credit and everything, but I want all my rights to everything that I do. So I have Paradox doing Wanna Know You. I have Cassius Clear doing Come Take a Look. I have and Vibe Did Over. I work with Vibe a lot. Like, Vibe is like the hottest dude. I don't even know why he's not like big right now. He's like the hottest cat out right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, but that's good when you have random producers also, because it makes everything sound different.
Right, and that's what I was about to say. Like, it's just the music, not like, too... the feel. It's just, I need that feel. Whatever. If you give me that feel, I want it. Like, it's no doubt about it. I don't want to have to think about it. Like, soon as the beat come on, I'm like, yeah, I gotta have it. Bam, hit him up. Look, how much it costs? Send it. Like, that's basically it.
Exactly, and that's what's good. See, a lot of producers fail to realize that. Sometimes if you produce with the same artist for so long, if you don't have that format already in your head about something different, it's all going to sound the same.
Yep.
And that's what they fail to realize. Now, let me ask you, when you did get back into the music, you released your latest mixtape, Never Too Busy.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Oh, man, that was wild. That was crazy. Like, people don't even understand how we put this mixtape together. My manager came to me. He was like, B, I heard you just finished the mixtape, whatever, whatever. I'm like, yeah. He was like, you want to get serious about it? I'm like, yeah. You know, I hear that all the time. Yeah, we going to get serious. All right. I'm like, look, you show me effort, I show you effort. He was like, all right, cool. He hit me up one day. He was calling me back to back, and I wasn't answering the calls. So I just wanted to see how long it was going to take for him to, like, you know, really give in. And he was like, dude, like, I've been calling you. Like, what's good? Like, you playing? And I'm like, nah, dude. Like, if you serious, I'm serious. He's like, look, I'm coming to get you. We're going to drop this, that, this, and the third. So we did, like, four songs that night. And then I was like, okay, he really serious. Like, he was on me, like, every day calling me, on me. Every day I'm like, dang, like, he really into it. Bam. What we did was Never Too Busy was actually, all the songs that y'all heard was actually, like, off of other tracks. Like, I was rapping off of industry instrumentals. And, like, what I was doing was taking my songs and then making my own versions to them. So it was like,
wow.
It was like, yeah, so it was like, damn, like, you know, like, I can't put, like, it basically I'm going to be just giving it away again because, like, I can't do nothing with it. Like, you know, this is already industry track. People already heard the song that is originally done to it. Like, what am I? I'm just doing this for practice. So what we did was we took all the lyrics off of them songs and bought all new beats and put them on the beats, and that's how we got everything together.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, from your last mixtape to this one,
mm-hmm.
What you think is different from the comparison of them?
It's progression. Like, what I did was I learned, like, you know, like, the first one I was just rapping. You know, like people don't understand, there's a difference between rapping and making music. When you're rapping, you're just rapping the words that's on the paper. When you're making music, you want people to feel what you're saying, like, over. Like, you know, like the two ladies that just called it, like, you know, like, I felt it. Like, you can feel the pain. You can feel the passion. So, like, certain words can't be said a certain way. You know, you can't just go say the word, be like, I don't like her no more. You got to make somebody be like, damn, like, he really don't like her. so the whole, you know, my whole process was, like, I listened to it, and I'm like, I don't like the way I said that. You know what, I'm going back to the school and I'm changing it. Like, I'm going to say it like this because I want him to feel how. I want him to know that I'm Miss Mad, or I want him to understand that I'm not playing when I say this. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I critique myself real, real hard on this Never Too Busy. Even though Never Too Busy was, like, almost, you can say, a put-together project, I critique myself because I learned and I was like, okay, yeah, because I shouldn't have did this, and oh yeah, I'm gonna put a drop. Like, I didn't even think of that. So I have a new mixtape coming out, Fameless. It's called Fameless. Like, that's gonna be more. Like, people look at this Never Too Busy mixtape as an album. Like, when I let them hear it, they're like, wow, it sounds like an album. And I'm like, you know, it's just a mixtape. The Fameless, man, Fameless is ridiculous. Yeah.
I get it. So you gotta let us get to that one.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Let us get to that one. We actually have a caller on the line for you.
Okay.
Caller, are you there?
Yeah, yeah, what it is. You know what I mean?
Cool.
I definitely got to show some love to Busy over there. This is Mr. Make It Happen, man, Rude Doobie, you know?
What's good, Rude Doobie? What's going on?
You know I have to call him, man, you know what I mean? He's a superstar over there, man. That's a superstar right there, man. You know what I mean?
He's
like,
definitely doing it.
He's the epitome of a superstar, man. You know, everybody need to come and take a look early, man, because he's coming, though, man. Trust me. Stick a move and grind mode. You know what I mean?
All day. All day.
Now, Rudubi, you're the one who got us connected. How did y'all meet?
Well, basically, you know, we got a company called Life Entertainment Music Incorporated, you know what I'm saying? And I do the distribution side also. I'm an A&R. I just do a lot of promotions all over the world. So basically, you know what I mean, I got a whiff of him, and I was like, yo, you know what I'm saying, that's a star right there. So, you know what I mean, I had to come on this project, I mean, you know, make sure he has all his radio interviews and shows and everything else lined up for him, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because he's doing it. He's definitely doing it. We definitely going to push it. Ain't no question about it.
I want to definitely call in and show him some love, man, because, you know what I'm saying, he works hard. He's an artist, man, you know what I mean? A lot of artists out there don't put in the work that he do, man, you know what I'm saying? He's definitely, you know, in the studio all the time, writing, and also, you know what I'm saying, he loves interviews, and he's not an artist that's stuck up or anything and all that, too. He's an artist that show love to everybody, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And plus, he's from New Orleans, too. So,
yeah, 504 all day, you know what I mean? Yeah.
No question. I definitely
want to thank y'all for giving me the opportunity, you know what I'm saying? And I'm blessed to have him, you know what I mean? Been working his project myself, I'm blessed. So, you know what I'm saying? I want to show love to Busy. Keep doing what you do, boy, you know?
Appreciate you, big homie. You know ain't nothing but love over here.
Ain't no question about it. Now, Busy, let me ask you.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say is the strongest point an up-and-coming artist should always oblige by to keep themselves going?
Originality. That's the biggest thing.
Mm.
Different is cool.
Okay.
You know, different is cool, and I don't knock being different, but originality. Like, you can't go off of, you know, Odd Future because they're being different. You can't go off of Wiz Khalifa because he has the Cali swag. You can't go off of Meek Mill because he's with, you know, Rick Ross. Like, you can't go off of Lil Wayne because he wear pajamas. Like, you can't do that. Like, that's their trend. That's what they does. It's not about trying to find yourself. It's about being in your own lane. And people don't understand that. Like, with me, I'm not – people. When people see my mixtape cover, they think I sing because I'm a casual dude. Like, I don't wear baggy jeans. You know, I might wear them a little bit off the butt, but they're not hanging, you know what I'm saying? Like, the, you know, the belt loops, you know what I'm saying? They're not, you know what I mean?
Down by your thighs, you know, all that.
Right. So, like, it's basically like being true to yourself. Like, don't let nobody change you. Like, I mean, like, I don't have a problem with criticism. I don't have a problem with that at all because I want everybody as a fan. Like, people tell me all the time, you can't get everybody. Well, guess what? In a mix of me not getting that one person, I'm going to put them all in this one little barrel, and then we're going to work together because I need something. Like, you know, somebody got to give in. You know what I mean? And it ain't going to be me. I need everybody as a fan.
I feel you. Because, you know, in life, every situation has its up and its downs. You know what I mean? Every occupation, it has its up and its down. What would you say is the downfall for artists?
Right now, the biggest downfall for artists is promotion. If you don't have good promotion, if you don't have... I won't even say that because you are your own promoter. If you don't believe in yourself, if you just out here just making music just to make it, so for you to listen to you and your partners, that's cool. But if you really, really behind your music, don't try to be Beyonce. Don't try to be Jay-Z. You know what I mean? Like, be true to yourself.
Exactly.
You have to be true to yourself. And that's basically, like, that's you, like, your self-promotion. Like, you, I'm on Facebook. When I drop a new video, I'm all day dropping it, all day. Every 5 minutes, you're going to see that video on my page, on my wall. You know what I'm saying? I'm texting people, sending it to their wall. You know, like, because honestly, when I did Want to Know You video, we had to take it down because of the music situation. But I did Want to Know You. I dropped Want to Know You one day. The second day it was on YouTube, I had 3,500 views.
Wow.
So, you know, like, I have to make people believe that this is real. Like, you know, I don't want nobody to think that, oh, this, like, when they, like, if you, I don't, it's a song called, on my mixtape, it's called, On My Way. It basically lets people know, like, that's what it was. Like, you know, like, I want people to believe in me, like, this is what I do, and I'm on my way. I want everybody to come with me. It's not just for the moment. Just because I've been going on me and then I stopped rapping, people don't understand, like, when I stopped rapping, I stopped rapping. Like, it wasn't, I didn't have to brush the dress off my shoulder because it was natural. It was real life situation. So I knew how to format my words. I knew my flows. I knew my tempo. I knew my, you know, I knew everything about me. So therefore, I didn't have to try to beat somebody else. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And you know what I really like about you? Because your titles go with your lyrics. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, over,
right.
You got the situation with the female. Come Take a Look, you got the situation with the bounce. On My Way, you got that situation. Now, I want to get into another one of your singles. I want to know, what's the concept behind that single?
Oh, man, Want to Know You is, like, the whole, Want to Know You, I know y'all, everybody is aware of the Katrina situation. I had that track since Katrina. And I was like, I'm not going to do it. Because that's what I was telling you. I was in the mix of not doing music. And I had the track for Want to Know You, and I actually wrote Want to Know You to the Alicia Keys Unthinkable beat.
So I wrote it, and I wrote it, and I was like, I'm going to just put it to this track just to see how it sounds. So we did it. Got the little guy, Craig P, that's my homie, that's my little brother. Dude, real, real good, talented in singing, talented in writing. By the way, I wrote everything on this song, too, bridge, hook, raps, everything. I wrote everything.
Wow.
On this song. Yeah, so.
You just doing everything.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, that's why I try to get, that's why I'm telling you when I say I wouldn't mind working with Karim Bailey Ray, because, like, I listen to music. Like, it's not just rap. I don't want people to think that I just listen to rap. I listen to everything. I listen to Rascal Flatts. I listen to Adele. You know, like, I've been on Adele before she even got hot. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, like, right. So the concept of Want to Know You was basically me trying to find this female, and the storyline was I wanted to be New Orleans. Like, I want people to understand, like, this is what we do in New Orleans. Like, you know, she had the beignet shop. I want to meet her. She played this game of cat and mouse. Like, she said if I saw her again, she'll talk to me, and it coincidentally, we met again, and, you know, we started talking. But when you see the video, it blows you away, I promise you.
I feel you. I know what it is, because the lyrics, the concept of it is crazy.
Right.
All right, Dons and Divas, here's some more fire by Busy. I want to know you. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
I really wanna know you. They got some things I wanna show you. Let's get high off of love. I really wanna know you. They got some things I wanna show you. Let's get high off of
at the cafe, about to order some beignets. So I figured I'd walk up, say hey. And I did, and she walked off and waved. So I knew what this was exactly about. She wanted to play a game of cat and mouse. So on the way out, I asked her name. And what was the chances of me seeing you again? She said, first off, I don't really do flings. And if you see me again, maybe there's a chance. So I figured, yeah, she about to play games. She trying to make me get my chances like rain. Raindrops keep falling on my brain. She trying to be nice, cause she already got a man. Love is powerful, and people use it in vain. She say you live once, so value everything. And I'm like,
I really wanna know you. They got some things I wanna show you. Let's get high off of love. I really wanna know you. They got some things I wanna show you. Let's get high off of love.
I was walking in, she was all alone. She stared at me and grinned, and it was hard for me to pretend she ain't exist though. Been around beautiful women, but I ain't been this close. Her walk mean, you should have saw the switch though. Jumping side to side like shorty was a 6-4. No makeup, shorty's all natural. I'm trying to build up the courage so I can ask her out. And knowing me, I can't take rejection. I can't play dumb until I learn my lesson. No player card, no lines for my best friend. Don't go out of bounds and stay in line. My question, she got me wanting her better than yesterday. Tomorrow's not promised, and today is like yesterday. I wanna talk to you with love and take your breath away. I'm talking every last breath until there's nothing left to say.
I really wanna know you. They got some things I wanna show you. Let's be high off of love. I really wanna know you. They got some things I wanna show you. Let's be high off of love. What it takes to make all my dreams come true. And all I need is you. To give me a chance so we can fly away. Away, yeah. Whoa. I really want to know you. They got some things I want to show you. Let's get high off of love. Show you, let's get high off the love.
single is crazy.
Yeah.
I'm dead serious. It's like, wow.
I really want to know
you. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
We actually have a caller on the line for you. Caller, are you there? Caller, mm-hmm. Are you there? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
Yeah, you got Busy on the line.
How you doing, man? How you doing, brother?
What's up? What's good, man?
Hey, man, listen, I got to tell you, man, I'm old school, right? So, like, you know, in my opinion, old school, we know hip-hop, man. We know when things are real. And that joint right there, that joint right there, you got to play that again. Yo, listen here, man, I got a question to ask, you know what I mean? I'm listening to and I'm feeling your energy. And I can feel a realness, you know what I mean, in your voice, man. I can tell. So, you know what I mean? Like, the comments you made about keeping it real and finding yourself. Everybody's an individual, you know what I mean? You just got to find out who you are. And from what I'm seeing, you know, from what I see, some rappers, not saying no names, you know, just hypothetically speaking, some of them have insecurities about who they are, what they want to do.
Right.
But to you, the way you're kicking it, and not only the way you're kicking it, and listening to your single, you know who you are. You know what I mean? And that's what it's really about, is find out who you are, finding yourself.
Right.
You know what I mean? Once you find yourself, nothing can stop you, nothing can hold you down, and that's it.
Right.
But what I want to know from you is, right, you know, how do you know what people want to hear? You know what I mean? Because it has to be like, you just can't go out there and put something out there. I'm going to put this out. I like what it sounds like.
Right.
But how do you know what people want to hear? Like, how do you come up with that?
It's crazy because let me tell you, I don't go out. Like, I don't go out to clubs and I don't know what's popping. Like, but I listen to music all day, 24/7. I listen to music all day. So the things I may feel like, I'll be like, man, that's whack. Like, you like this? I can only say that because I know me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know what I like to hear. I know what I like to listen to. So I try not to criticize people so hard because they may feel how I feel about music, but they're just not capable of doing what I can. So I just what I do is I listen to it and I'm like, okay, well, if he, like, okay, perfect example, round of applause, shorty make that ass clap, you know what I'm saying? Like, I heard the song and I'm like, wow, that song hot, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that song hot. Then when I heard who on it, I'm like, are you serious? Like, that's who they're getting that song? But then I hear Drake come on it and I'm like, well, okay, now I got to look at it different because...
Right.
If Drake feel like he can get on it,
yeah.
I feel like I'm Drake. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I'm up there already. So if Drake feel like he can get on it, then I can get on it. Okay. So now I'm gonna give you my point. You know that song? I'm riding around and I'm getting. I'm riding around. Like, I like that song. It's not something I came up with, but I like the song. So I feel like, okay, if Drake can do round of applause, I can do riding around and I'm getting it. You know what I mean? So like that's how I get that feel. That's how I get that feel when I know what people want to hear. People be like, well, B, you do too many female songs. Well, honestly, a female will support me before you do, and you gonna only support me.
Exactly.
That's right.
A female will go out there and buy the CD in a minute.
Right, and that's what I try to get people to understand. Like, I will bait the females in. Why? Because when a female show up, you show up. So now that I have your attention, because the females too, I'm gonna give you what you're looking for. But at the same time, I gotta cater to them because they're my true supporters. Like, you only here for them. But at the same time, if I say something you like, then your attention span's gonna be on me now too.
You're right, bro. You know what, man? I'm not trying to compare you when I say this, but you know what you just said, I heard that before. I heard a rapper once say, you know what I mean, that when you got to sing to the women. You got to sing to the women. Don't
Tupac.
Sing to the brothers. Because you see,
Tupac.
There you go.
Tupac.
That's what I'm talking about. He said it.
Tupac.
He said you got to sing to the women, my man. You know what? You're going to go a long way, bro. I said, you know your stuff, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate everything, man. I appreciate you calling in, dude. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to what I got to say. Like, real talk.
Listen, man. Call in again, man. I want to hear some more of your singles, bro. For real, I just can't get enough. You on YouTube?
How can I find you on YouTube? Matter of fact, let me tell you. This is what you do.
Right.
Easy access to me. You go on google.com, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you type in N-E-V-A, the number 2, Busy.
Right.
Everything pop up. Twitter, Facebook,
everything.
YouTube, Brad Piff, iTunes, everything pop up under that name. Everything.
Man, you all over the place, man.
All
over the place, brother.
I'm grinding, man. I'm trying to get everybody a little busy. And that's why the name of the tape is Never Too Busy. Never Too Busy, man. I'm never too busy for nobody. I'm here.
All right, man. Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
No,
I have another caller on the line for you.
Okay.
Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. You have Busy on the line.
Hey, you have to represent for New Orleans. This is Sierra. The song you just played is like my favorite off his mixtape, the Never Too Busy mixtape. And I want him to know that I am your biggest fan and your number one supporter, so keep doing your thing. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
All right. We actually have another caller on the line for you, Busy. Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Hello, caller. Are you there?
What's up, bro?
What's good? What's good?
What's up, Busy? This your baby brother.
What's happening, baby? What's good with you, man?
Oh, bro, you know, I'm just checking you out, baby, supporting you, bro. You know how we do it.
Right. Appreciate that little bro.
You already know, baby. I'm out here. Baby, I'm out here in Seattle, man. We out here checking it out, bro. I saw you on the book, you know, and me and Pops is down here bumping that shit, you know?
Yeah. Appreciate that, homie.
That's shit, bro.
Right there.
For real, man.
Love right there.
You keep doing that shit, bro. I love you, bro. My nigga, we're going to hook up in a minute.
Yeah, we got to.
For real, bro. And, you know, I'm going to send you some more music, bro. You just keep doing your thing and keep going hard, bro. You feel me? We got you, baby.
I got you.
All right,
100.
All right.
Now, because you run out of time, but I want to ask you, do you have any performances coming up at this time soon, or you just relaxing and you just...
Nah. I'm never relaxing.
All right. Let us know what it is.
Yeah. March 18th, I'll be at Wine Therapy Lounge in New Orleans on Tulane Avenue, 3001 Tulane Avenue. March 25th, I'll be at the Dragon's Den on Esplanade. I don't know the exact address, but if you're from New Orleans, you know where Dragon's Den is. May 3rd, I have Jazz Fest, which is a big thing in New Orleans. I don't know if everybody know about it, but Jazz Fest, May 3rd, 9:30 in the morning. Like, that's how serious it is. Like, they start from the morning till the evening. So May 3rd at in the kids tent. So I'll be in Jazz Fest, and that's all my performances. Like I said, I'm about to shoot the video for Over. That's next week. I'm doing that next week. And I'm just looking forward to my little homie, Craig P. Craig P. got his mixtape dropping called Explanations. I'm working with him. Real talented dude like that. Like, seriously.
Wow. You know what I would like you to do, Busy, is give all your information to the listeners and let them know how they can hear that fire you have going on right now. Let them know your Twitter, your Facebook, Reverb, all that.
Yeah. Everything is basically Never Too Busy. Facebook.com/NEVA number 2 BUZY. Twitter @ Never Too Busy, NEVA number 2 BUZY. DatPiff.com, NEVA number 2 BUZY. iTunes, look up Busy, BUZY. Want to know you, want to WANNA. KNO, the letter U. Amazon.com, same thing. Anywhere that sell online music, search that, it's going to pop up. It's only $1. Support the one to know you. YouTube, NEVA number 2 BUZY. Google, you Google it, it's simple. You Google it, everything pop up. YouTube videos, like I got like a whole bunch of YouTube videos. I did performances in H-Town, Tampa, Miguel. I opened up for Miguel. I have Wanna Know You video, On My Way video. I'm about to do the Over video. Performances from Highland Wolf, House of Blues, like everything. So, yeah, check that out. NEVA, the number 2, BUZY. Google it. You get everything. You don't even have to try to remember everything. Google it. Google NEVA, number 2, BUZY, and it's going to pop up. I promise you.
We actually have another caller on the line for you.
Okay.
I'm going to let you go. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, you're busy on the line.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, love?
Hey, Busy. This is Charlie. I'm calling all the way from New Orleans.
Okay, okay. What's up, baby?
Nothing. I just wanted to say, I remember you rapping way back in middle school.
Right.
In middle school. And I just got the number to the radio all the way down here from New Orleans. So I just wanted to call and say you are really, truly, like, doing your thing.
Thank you.
And
I appreciate it.
Wow.
I am so, so, so proud of you. I cannot wait for you to come back home and do another show here. I will not miss.
Okay.
And I just wanted to say thank y'all for allowing us to, like, hear all the way down here. So
right.
No question.
Yes.
Oh, I appreciate you, Trella. I really do. I appreciate you listening and everything. I really do.
Oh, that is so cool. That's all I wanted to say.
New Orleans is in the building. Oh,
yeah, we have it.
It's so like
for
crazy.
Real.
I don't know. He's been on his grind a long time, and it's a long time coming, and it's about time.
Yeah.
He's definitely doing it, too. He's going to take it to another level. He's definitely doing it.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Thank you for calling. Now, Busy, is there any shout outs you want to give?
Yeah. Shout out to First Off God. You know what I mean? I shout out y'all because y'all took the time out and interviewed me. I shout out my team, Grind Mode, Stick and Move, Craig Perkins, C Perkins, whatever you want to call them, the boy Hot Craig P. My homie Tef the God. You can go on that Piff Tool, get his mixtape. I want to shout out to Life in ENT. I want to shout out to Rude Doobie. That's my homie. That dude really been behind me, like really, really been behind him, been on me with everything. I want to shout out my family, my friends. I want to shout out everybody that called tonight. I want to shout out, my kids, you know, my motivation. That's my motivation right there. Like, I'm with them all day, every day. Anybody will tell you that all day, every day. If my daughter's not with me, my son with me at the studio. Like, you know what I mean? So, yeah, we do this. We team busy. That's another thing. Shout out to Team Busy. You know, my family and friends support me wherever I go. You know what I mean? So, yeah, we doing this. And that's about it. I got to say that. That's about it. That's about it.
Busy, I really want to thank you once again for joining us. And like
I
said, we're going to do what we do to push you out there faster because you're definitely doing your thing. And you're doing it big. And you got our full support.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, appreciate that.
All right, Dons and Divas, coming up next, GQ Palace, first movie director, Oscar Sanders. Find out what he's about and his latest projects. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Nobody never gonna believe you. You should do
what we do, stack chips like. Don't let the melody intrigue you, cause I leave you, I'm only here for that green paper with
I'm strictly trying to cop those colossal size Picasso's. And I pop and piss coke outside, don't got those. The Enja with cash flowing like Sosa, and the Latin chick transporting in a chocha. Stampeding over pop modes, never sober. Flexing Range Rovers, dealing weight by Minnesota. Avoiding arcs with camcorders and Chevy Novas. Stashed in a building with this chick named Alona from Daytona. When I was younger, once a boner, but now I only hit chicks who win beauty pageants. Tricking and taking me skin at the Aspens, gangsta mint half, stay popping twist style. Pack a black pistol and a act coupe and soft brown. Pinky ringing, gondolas with the man singing. Italian music down the river with your chick clinging to my bizzles. Player, you mad for? Acting hard when you as pussy as RuPaul.
Wanna do? Wanna be ballers, shot callers, brawlers. We'll be dipping in the bins with the spoilers. On the low,
on the
day, in the
glory. Wanna rumble with the B, huh? Throw a hex on the whole family. Dressed in all black like the Omen. Have your friends singing, this is for my homies. And you know me for making niggas so sick. Lost in my six with the Lex on the wrist. If it's murder, you know she wrote it. German Ruger for your ass, bitch, deep throated. Know you wanna fill the room, cause it's platinum coated. Take your pick, got a firearm, you should've told it. Suck a dick, all that bullshit you kick. Player hating from the sideline, get your own shit. Why you ride mine? I'm a good fella, kinda late. Dash the 80s in Mercedes. Puffy, hold me down, baby. Only female in my crew. Then I kick shit like a nigga do. Pull the trigger to fuck you.
I've been had skills for sale still. High bills in Brazil. About a mill of ice grill. Make it hard to figure me. Liquor be kicking me in my asshole. Undercover, Johnny Brasco. That's my East Coast girl, the Bentley, the twirl. My West Coast shorty, push the chrome 740. Rock the red man and naughty. All in my kitty cat. Half a brick of gate. In the bra where my titties at. And I'm living that whole life we push weight. Fuck the state, 10 fuck holes in Penn State. Listen close to Francis, the prayer mantis. Attack with the Mac, my left hand spit. Right hand grip on the whip for the smooth getaway. Player haters, get away on my lead wood spray. Squeeze off till I'm empty, don't tempt me. Only to hell I send thee, all about the Benji. Swag.
Welcome back. And with me right now, I have Oscar Sanders. Oscar, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rich. I'm glad to be here, man.
All right, all right. What's going on, Os? I'm glad you could take this time out to, you know, join us. I know you're a busy man. You got a lot of things going on. You
well, for
know,
you,
as
man.
I can see you.
For you, definitely.
My man, because I can see you definitely doing it big, you know.
Uh-huh.
Now, let's get into you right now. Now, what made you decide to get into directing films?
Well, for me, it started out, man, I was a lonely child, man. My sister and my brother were much older than me. So, like, I was, like, by myself a lot of times when I was very young. So I was, like, into the black and white films and watching a lot of movies. And I used to walk around the house imitating different Humphrey Bogart and James Cagney. And then as it got into the 70s, I was into the black exploitation. I mean, I was into the Jim Browns and Fred Williamson. And these are the guys that actually at that time were black action heroes and also were directing. And they were really the real indie filmmakers back then. They was investing. They was getting money from, you know, overseas. And then they was producing their own movies and they was doing them the way they wanted to. And for me, I picked up a Bell & Howell camera, one of these little Super 8 cameras, man. And that's how it started. We used to, like, make these movies, and they were like gangster, pseudo-gangster type films, and we would rent, you know, cabs, and then we'd use them for cars and take them out to the airport, and we put flour in like glossine bags, and we made our own drugs, and then we'd go out and we'd be running around shooting each other, you know, and people were like, yo, they couldn't believe, you know, that people were like 15 and 16 years old, instead of, you know, running around acting up, they really actually had a plan, and we was doing these like movies, and so, you know, That's how it basically started for me. I was always a student and a creature of film. I loved drama and a lot of heist movies and a lot of crime dramas and definitely all those, like, you know, black exploitation, you know, the Max and the Superflies and the Slaughters.
What's good is at that time, y'all already was getting y'all career formatted out before anybody could realize what y'all was doing.
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing that I regret, actually, is that from that point, a lot of people say, oh, you know, you could have been another Spike Lee at that time. I never actually went to school for filmmaking, you know, what happened was I actually wound up picking up books, and I was reading a lot of student books and workshops and listening to a lot of directors on special features explaining how their movies were made, and a lot of, like, interviews with directors and cinematographers. So that I got I really had learned on a hands-on basis, basically.
I hear you. Now, I know in 2005, the film you directed, Splitting Hairs, was the official selection of the Night Gallery Film Festival. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was interesting, man. Night Gallery, that was actually a short film. And what happened was the story behind that, it was crazy, man. It was a really great life experience. Me, one of the actors and the producer of the film, we went out to the Night Gallery Film Festival. It was actually in Casa Grande, Arizona. So I love the West Coast. So, I always enjoy myself there. But this time, when we got to Phoenix, Arizona, we didn't know that Casa Grande was 100 miles from Phoenix International Airport. So we had to get on three shuttle buses. We had to hang out with some orange baked alcoholics and different, like, truck stops. It took us so long to get there, taking on Route 66. It was like a weird experience, man. I mean, we really was like, it was like one of them Bob Hope road shows. I mean, we traveled so much from three different shuttle buses, cabs. I mean, that was an expensive trip. And then we finally got there, man. They were very nice to us, man. They had food for us. They took care of us. They put us up. And that was like a real great experience, man. And, you know, we really were well received.
And that's good, because in 2006, Poconos Mountain, it also garnered a Best Short Film and Best Original Film nomination for that, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, how long did it actually take you, you know, to direct that film?
I would say probably about 5 or 6 months, because those were actually, at that time, they were short films. And my technique was how I did. I would start off with a short film, and then I would expand on that theme and then turn it into a feature film. So it would start out that way. The feature film would actually take longer, and then, you know, we were using, you know, shoestring budgets, very small, self-financed, and then that's when that moved into Splitting Hairs 2.0, Case Cold, which actually was, like, you know, like a cultivated seed of Splitting Hairs. It was, you know, So that was like, that's like the way I was, like, doing those films back then.
All right. Well, Oscar, we actually have a caller on the line for you.
Okay.
Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. You have Oscar Sanders on the line, movie director.
Hi, Oscar. How are you?
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks for asking. So you say you didn't go to school for this?
No, I didn't. I'm basically self-taught. What I did is I grabbed, like I said, I talked to a lot of directors. I used to read all of the scholastic books that I could get my hands on that were basically in film schools, and I also the special features on a lot of movies. The directors and the cinematographers would actually explain how they went about making movies and, you know, creating characters. I read a lot also on creative writing, and I was always very good in school with creative writing. So I had, you know, I enjoyed characterization, like building characters and giving them like idiosyncrasies and personal quirks, and, you know, to make the character look and be able to be received, and also the audience would relate and say, "Wow, he's an interesting character." And that was like, you know, that was all stuff that I, you know, I read or either I heard and I took notes from.
Right. Would you consider going to school, or do you feel like that you're at your point that you don't need it?
Well, I go to a lot of workshops.
Okay.
And you know, and I work with a lot of other people, and I talk to a lot of people that tell me a lot of the technical stuff, so they share their knowledge with me.
Oh, okay. Well, sound like you know, going forward, so keep up the good work and always keep God first.
Oh, thank you so much. And your name?
I'm T.
T?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a pleasure. Thanks for your interest and your call and your interesting questions.
Not a problem.
Yes. Are we still there?
Oscar, you can hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Must have a little technical difficulty there. I thought I lost
mm-hmm.
you or something. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in 2006, Malcolm Entertainment produced another film by you, Who You're Talking To. Let us know a little something about that.
Yeah, that was a real interesting film. That was basically about a woman who stood to lose a lot of from impending divorce. So what she did is she wanted to hire a hitman to kill her husband, and on a flight to Zurich, she met this guy. And from there, I don't know if I should explain the whole thing or just let people know that it's a twist. I can explain, I guess, because
I'll say whatever you decide is fine.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. Well, basically from that point on, she meets this guy, and he offers to help her. They meet in the Bronx in a park, and they start to discuss, you know, the dynamics of the job and how committed, you know, she is to having him killed, you know.
Wow.
And then what happens is when she starts to tell, you know, he asks for the money, and he suddenly at the end tells her, you know, he said, you should know who you talking to. And she said, excuse me? You know, he said, because you never know, you know, when you share your thoughts and your secrets, are the people that are really listening to you sincere? And what happened was he had a tape recorder, and he had been recording it because he was a gun runner who actually was indicted for gun running. So what happened was, to get a lighter sentence, he set this woman up. You know, and then, but the thing really flipped after, you know, he turned his head, and when he turned back, you know, he had a .45 in his face, and his head got blown off. You know,
wow.
So yeah, so there was two twists. There was two twists to that film. There was the twist where she got caught. Then actually, both people didn't know who they was talking to, which is a real theme a lot of times. When, you know, we bare our soul, we talk. We say a lot of different things, and this is goes on throughout social media too. People release a lot of information about themselves, not knowing really who they're talking to. So, you know, we should, you know, so, you know, tread lightly, you know, when you bare your soul a lot of times, unless you really want to.
Yeah, we definitely gonna get the information on these movies when we're done. Now, that's real interesting. Like, wow, I'm about to go check for it now. Now I know you were doing some extras on certain flicks at one point of view, right? Did you yourself directing films at that time?
Yeah. You know, actually, that was like a thing that was actually bringing me closer to films, because at that time I was working with a couple of casting agencies, and I was doing a lot of extra work. You know, I had worked a lot on Oz, where I played a Muslim inmate. Deep Impact, I was one of the cats that got caught in the tidal wave. That was a hell of a shoot, because they shot that for like about 10 hours. straight, wow. Just running back and forth. People were bouncing off of cabs. There was a lot of people that was getting hurt because when you was doing it over and over again, you had these traffic jams, and you had people whizzing in between the cars and the cameras, and it was over and over and over again. And then people saw cab drivers was opening the door, thought they heard cut. People were running into the doors. Oh, people were – it was wild. But the final effect was excellent for everybody seeing, you know, Deep Impact with Morgan Freeman, you know. And then The Siege with Denzel Washington, which was interesting. That was out at Randall's Island. And everybody was underdressed. Oh, wow. It was so cold out there. I was one of the internment camp prisoners in that film.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrity, which was a movie Woody Allen did with Vendela and a couple other designers. Law and Order, I play a pizza delivery guy on there, and that famous case in New Jersey where the guys called for the pizza and then they actually murdered the delivery guy in New Jersey. Yeah, well, that was reenacted.
Wow,
I did that.
So you were doing it all.
Yeah, I was in also the last thing I think I did was The Yards, which was an interesting film with Mark Wahlberg and Steve Lawrence, Ellen Burstyn, and James Caan. James Caan was he was a good guy. I mean, in between takes, I mean, he kept everybody laughing because they all wanted to go back to Vegas. That's all they kept talking about. And when this is over, I'm going back to Vegas. But he was very personable talking to people, as opposed to some of the people on Law and Order were kind of friendly, but you know, some of them like stayed to themselves. You know, they're very distant. You know, yeah. But what happened with that, why I didn't go any further, the whole thing people do that for is to get a SAG card, Screen Actors Guild card. And to get that, you have to have speaking lines in it. And it was very rough to get speaking lines. I mean, it was very cutthroat, man, in terms of the people helping you and other actors. And it was like, you know, yeah, it was like a dog-eat-dog type of thing. So I kind of got weary after a while. Yeah, you know.
The movie industry sound a little bit like the music industry.
Oh, yeah, it is, because, you know, I did that for a minute, you know, for about 16 years, you know. I left college to actually play guitar with Billy Bang. Well, I was playing with some other guys like Omar Chandler. He was with Rob Bass, and then we had some bands in Harlem called Street Magic over near Drew Hamilton off of 147th, I think, in Frederick Douglass over in that area. And then, you know, doing that was rough, too, because, you know, recording for Polygram, Soul Note, two albums, and, you know, I gave up college to travel the world. And this was like in the early 80s. It was like, you know, we're talking about when they still had a wall. You know, we were in West Germany, Cologne, Switzerland, Finland, Belgium, France, England. And it was a great experience, man. But I keep bouncing throughout, like, you know, the creative forces. You know, I seem like I always gravitate to where there's creativity, you know. So I eventually got back into got that bug again to do films.
I hear you. We actually have a caller on the line for you.
Okay,
caller,
cool.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing?
You have Oscar Sanders on the line, movie director.
Oh, Oscar Sanders, how you doing, brother?
All right, how are you? What's your name, man?
I'm doing well. My name is Joseph.
Okay.
And Oscar, I was listening to you sincerely, as you said, quote unquote. And I heard that you mentioned that you didn't go to school for this. So, you know, I just want to know, you made it sound so easy, the story how back in the day you used to watch these black and white films. So I want to know, being that you made it sound so easy, what is the trials and tribulation as up and coming producer to go through? Because I know in every business, especially in the music business, whatever business that you're trying to get into, you're going to have some bumpy roads going the line trying to be successful. And not only that, at what point in time do your travels of trying to be a producer, can you say that you've reached a level of success? At what point in time?
When people actually recognize you for what you do,
right,
and they want to give you money to make it happen.
Oh.
You know, and, you know, there's two types of ways to make films. You can make films to make money, or you can make films from a passionate standpoint,
right.
You know. I've done more from a real super indie type of standpoint where I've had people invest in me. And these are people that, you know, are working class people that, you know, they're not like, you know, hedge fund managers, or they're not venture capitalists. And okay. Also a lot of stuff that I also self-finance, and then, you know, I'll sell them on Amazon, or
okay.
I sell them, I go to a lot of film festivals and a lot of schools, and just like on the underground. And, you know, it's an ongoing, you know, process to, like, get people to really recognize you for what you are. Because, like Rich said earlier, you know, it's dog eat dog. And when
right,
you
right,
start
right.
to get involved in it, you really realize when you stand in there, you start going to these film festivals, you start going to these workshops, you start going
mm-hmm.
to these showbiz expos, you know, where, you know, like where they do a lot of industry trade shows, and you really realize how many people are in this game, you know. And it's like, you know, how do I get noticed, you know? And you know, a lot of times people, you know, they like people to be referred. You know, it's like this courtesy thing where people are like referring people through other people because, you know,
okay.
you have people that just don't, you know, want to be approached, or they just don't want to. I remember it was something Beanie Siegel said. I think it was in Backstage. I think that video, live video, he said, I'm going to tell all y'all right now, all you guys that send your CDs to Def Jam, they throw them in the garbage.
Yeah,
well,
I listened to that today, too. I heard that on
YouTube. You know, when you got a person that's all they do is listen to stuff, and people are throwing stuff in their face constantly, you know,
right.
how do they differentiate from what they want to see or hear, you know?
Right.
And, you know, so sometimes you need somebody, you know, to solicit stuff for you, you know,
right,
because
right,
sometimes
right.
people will not listen to you if you cold call them. You know what I mean? And they might be giving up a real opportunity, as most of the time they do. They overlook
right.
people. You know what I mean?
Right, look
at the people that made mistakes with Clint Eastwood. That's the famous story, Clint Eastwood and Burt Reynolds. You know, he said Clint Eastwood, you know, he had supposedly he squint too much, and then what's the name? Burt Reynolds, you know, said that his teeth were funny, and Burt used to always say, "I can fix my teeth, but you can't do nothing with your eyes." You know what I mean?
Wow.
You know, but
okay.
you know, that was joking. But you know something? Both of them became big stars. So
okay.
obviously, people passed up on a lot of different opportunities. You know what I mean? You know, so you know, you got to keep forging ahead. I think Tyler Perry said something like that too. Don't try to do a whole bunch of things. You know, just
right.
do one thing real well.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So it's a person. You know, it's a labor of love, and then you got to keep forging. And forging it and trying to break through. It's taken me, you know, some time. And, you know, I got a long way to go in terms of where, you know, things that I want to do, you know.
Okay.
But, you know, I've had films that have screened, you know, as far away as Mumbai, India, you know, Turkey, you know, London, you know, across the United States, you know, and, you know, so, you know, some people, you know, are starting to, you know, hear more about, but you just gotta be determined to do this, and you know, kind of like almost like be the last man standing, you know, within, you know, hundreds of thousands of other people. Because
right.
what
how
it
do
is,
you know,
any kind of way, you, huh?
How do you know who to trust? Because I'm sure in a lot of these businesses, and I can only talk about like the music industry. You know what I mean? I don't know anything about it, but you know, just hearing things around that in certain businesses, like you have like trust issues. Like, who do you trust? Like,
you,
when
you
want to
do
know, certain
how
projects,
do you,
who do you trust?
How do you know how to trust a significant
right.
other?
Wow, I guess by
you know what
I'm
saying. You know what it is? You gotta go unconditional, man. You just have to go out there and push your stuff, and you know, and hope that, you know, some protect your stuff by all means, but
right.
you don't know who is going to really, you know, who's going to be there for you, who's going to give you an objective listen, or who's going to try to rob you or rip you off. You can't know, but you can't let fear stop you from moving forward. Because I've worked with an artist that felt that way, you know, and we used to wrangle back and forth. They're trying to steal my stuff. You know, well, I got a theory about people stealing your stuff. When you are very creative,
right.
I always look at it this way. I haven't even made my best stuff yet. You know, so you know, I'm not saying I'm giving nothing away, but if you think that that's all that what you got right there that you have potential to be stolen is the best thing you got, then probably don't show it to nobody then. But I, you know, I feel like this. You know, if that happens, I got some more stuff. I'm a creative person, so you know, I can keep doing this. You know what
all
I mean?
Right. Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah, because it's very difficult to know. You know, because I mean, how do you get stuff? Somebody's got to listen to it. Somebody's got to see it.
Somebody's out there, right.
You know, but, I mean, they have, you know, you can get into deals with people where they'll sign where, you know, they can't share the information with other people, you know.
Okay.
But, you know, sometimes people don't want to sign in on different things. It's, you know, sometimes it's a chance. It's a chance you take, you know. You know, yeah, you know, because all of that is a relationship, you know, just like when we were talking about significant others. They're all relationships, and sometimes you just got to go for it, you know. And, you know, yeah, you know, I mean, unless it doesn't feel right to you, you know, because that you can get really caught up on somebody stealing my stuff, and then, like, you have a lot of stuff, but, you know, nobody else will hear it. Because some people will, you know, yeah, some people will, you know, will... You know, they want to hear it. Well, everybody wants to hear your stuff first. A great film, a great movie called Flash of Genius, Greg Kinnear made, was the dude that actually made the intermittent windshield wiper, you know. And what happened was he showed it to Ford Motor Company, you know. And when he showed it to Ford Motor Company, they said, well, you know, we need the schematic. And he's like, well, no, nah, I can't do that. He said, but listen, we have to take this and send this to the Department of Transportation to make sure it's right and it's safe. And you know, and his old man was down and said, "Yeah, well, that's the way it goes. Transportation and safety have to get it." So he gave it to him. Then next day, 2 days later, the guy comes to him and says, "Ford wants out of the deal. They don't want to have nothing to do with it." So Greg Kinnear said, "But wait a minute! But they got my stuff."
Exactly.
He said, "No, we'll get it back." He said, "When?" He said, "Well, you know, we'll get it back. I don't know when." The next thing he knew, he was coming back in the rain. He seen a car come around the corner near this auditorium, and the shit had windshield wipers on him.
Wow.
He went inside. It was Ford. It was Ford, and they robbed him. And he had to fight them for 15 years. He fought them for 15 years for them to actually admit that they stole his stuff. You know what I'm saying? So now check that out. That's Ford. That's Ford Motor Company doing that.
That's my God. They were the
best. So, you know, I mean, you know, you got to show, because that's how he felt, just like you said. I can't show. If I give it to them, they're going, you know, he had that feeling. But how do you get your stuff made if a person can't check it out?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah, I understand. But I just want to say, Oscar, like, you know, after listening to your story about you not going to school and, you know, you just got into business and where you are right now, you are the prime example, man, that there's nothing that you can do. All you have to do is put your mind to it. You're the prime example.
Absolutely.
Of that.
Absolutely.
You. Your representation of people like me, you know what I mean? The younger generation, you know, the guys like to say, I can't do it, this and that. Listen, after listening to your story, what you did, I'm sure from there on, you know, hey, man, you know, things can be done.
Absolutely, man. You keep going for what you want, you know what I mean? And, you know, and that's the main thing, confidence, man, you know what I'm saying? And making sure, I mean, you know, if something just doesn't feel right to you, you know, I mean, by all means, you know, go with your instincts, you know what I mean? But, I mean, to a certain point, you got to let go because, I mean, you know, this is an industry, where you have to submit your stuff. You know, you have to submit it. You know, just protect your stuff, you know, make sure your stuff is protected. But, you know, and then if something happens, then you go after them, you know. But, you know, the whole thing, I think, I mean, even if somebody takes your stuff, you know, there's always the possibility you can get just as much money as if you had got it from you. But you'll never get a dime. You'll never get a dime, you know, if you hold it in your pocket and never show it to nobody, because I don't like the way that guy looked, or he told me to give it to this guy, but I was supposed to be talking to him, but he gave it to him. He wanted another guy to hold it, or he didn't show up at the meeting. He sent another guy to pick up the tip, you know, all that kind of, you know, that kind of thing, you know. You know, it's that's life, man. You know, it's some people are honest, man. Some people are honest and sincere, and you know. But I mean, you know, if you're right, and this dude took 15 years to get, you know, 18 million and another 35 million from them, you know, to say yes, I apologize. I stole your idea, your invention. You know what I mean? So, you know,
right.
People do it all the time, you know?
Was it really worth the wait, though? I mean, after 15 years, I'm sure, you know, you had legal fees, you know, attorney fees and things like that. So did he really get what he wanted after 15 years?
No, actually, he represented himself.
Oh.
He represented himself, man, you know?
Right.
He lost his family because that's another thing that you really realize too. People like what you do, you know, for a minute, you know, but when it starts taking away from their time, you know, that's when you really find out, you know, if who you marry to or who your loved one is a Coretta Scott King or is a Betty Shabazz, you know, somebody that's going to be with you through and through. When them days and nights when you're not around and they still believe in you. Because this girl after a while was like, come on, man. You know, first it started out with like 10, well, I think it was, they wanted to give him 10 or 20 million. She said, that's a lot of money. Right there, you could tell she was ready to bail out. Take that money, you know, but she didn't understand the principle of invention and intellectual property. And this is my stuff. She said, you've been almost like it's a hobby. You know, it's like, you know, because I used to hear that back in the day, too. Oh, that's a nice hobby. Because that's how people sometimes look at what you're doing.
Exactly.
You know, they're not creative. They don't have the passion that you have. So they don't take you seriously. And especially it's really taxing when you have relationships.
Because
some of your time, some of your money, you know, other things, attention is going into this, you know, you not being around trying to push this thing. But wait until you hit it off. And now, you know what I'm saying? And and then Benjamins is coming. I knew, baby, that you was going to make it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I didn't hear that last year.
Oscar, let me ask you something real fast.
Yeah.
What is the hardest thing about being a director?
Basically taking what you know to be the story, the genesis of it, and the conveying it to other people. And there's two different ways that happens. Well, when it's a drama, you're taking something from its conception, which is pre-production, you're starting out with a script, and then taking that script and then finding people and casting people. Now you have to find people that you feel you could trust, and understand, you know, what you're trying to accomplish on film, fit the role, rehearse them, and then get them to put it on film, you know, which is, and then you're responsible. You're wearing all these different hats, even though you have different people working for you. The way I do, very indie and guerrilla, so it's a lot smaller operation. But when it's, even if it's bigger, if you're doing something, you know, like Spike or, you know, anybody that you could think of, Steven Spielberg, they still have to pay attention to everything. So the biggest part about directing is that, you know, this thing is everything to you. It's almost like a baby, you know, and it has to be cultivated and it has to be put through, you know, everything that's going to make this film. That means you're worrying about the sound, you're worrying about the production, the set, the costumes. You know, you have production meetings constantly with people, transportation, things not working out, cameras falling, breaking, you know, the film at the dailies in the morning are not there. All these different problems, and you have to problem solve very quickly, you know, and come back because you're on production time. You know, so, you know, it's just being so responsible for something. Now, if you're doing a documentary, it's a little different, you know, because you're doing a lot of that's almost like very personal. That's almost like doing research. You know, it's like, you know, you have the subject, you get the archive footage, or you're shooting all the footage, you're doing the interviews, and you put it together the way you can. You have a lot more control over mistakes happening, you know, than you would if you're outside. And you have a cast and a crew and you're shooting and you need permits and all these different things that you're responsible for. It's a big operation. So it's more nerve-wracking, you know. Music videos are a little simpler, you know, because, you know, you're not engaging with a lot of different people and, you know, dynamics. And then are you really shooting what you want? Do you have, at the end of the day, do you have what you set out to shoot? Because sometimes movies can change on you too, you know.
Now let me ask you. In 2009, you produced a film titled "Why Hire a Killer?" a psychological suspense about two people with a past and one suffering from a medical phenomenon called phantom death.
Yeah.
What is that one? Well,
Phantom death is actually something that is a medical syndrome that I created, basically, that a person doesn't really know if he's alive or dead.
Mm.
And that actually is a genus that morphed out of you know who you're talking to. And it was actually, you know, an interesting film because we went to Toronto, Canada and shot, and Philadelphia and shot. And then we put this together in New York City College, and we shot some morgue scenes where we did some special effects stuff in Elmhurst Hospital, which was very nice to us. And, you know, so as you're moving through this film, you know, you're seeing this woman, you know, creating, you know, havoc and, you know, and eliminating problems. I don't want to say too much about this film because this will actually be for sale on my website in the next week. But what I will say is that you at one point don't really understand, you know, if the people involved are alive or dead. But it's an interesting story that weaves, you know, from the past and through the same elements I told you with know who you're talking to, you know, with the divorce element. But now, you know, those same people that are in that park, they're, again, in each other's lives, but, you know, in a radio station. And as they go through this talk radio phase, this long, long drawn out, very suspenseful with mood music and with a lot of drone and ambient music that's haunting and very scary. And, you know, the dialogue takes you from the beginning of this story that if people had seen the short film, which you don't really have to because there's elements of it, you know, but because that movie was, I don't know, like about, I don't know, 5 minutes. It was a 5 minute short. So it's all in there, and then it goes further. And then, you know, she has to, like, you know, be an angel to this guy, you know, actually.
Mm.
And at the same time, she's very sinister. So, I mean, it's a very interesting and compelling film. And, you know, you until the very end, you don't know, you know, what's real and what's not.
Okay. Because I know Rahaya Akilah was nominated for Best Features at the Pocono Mountains Film Festival.
Yes. Yeah. They it was nominated at a couple other film festivals too. That it was a movie that, you know, I always wanted to make, and I didn't know exactly how to make it in the beginning. But after the short film, it became very clear, you know, where I needed to take this, you know, to make it bigger and more interesting and more thought provoking. So that was well received.
Now what I want to say is, okay, because you have the lines like lit up and we have a lot of people listening. If you want to speak to Oscar Sanders, press 1 to go on the air. Now, Oscar.
Yeah.
If you had the chance, who are some of the actors you would like to film with?
Ooh. Oh, okay. We would start with Denzel. Definitely put as a villain. I think he's overplayed, you know, the good guy role, and he really, really plays villains very well. I would pair somebody like, if it was a movie that I wanted to make, it would be Denzel Washington. It would be Robert De Niro. It would be Al Pacino. I would put, like, Sanaa Lathan.
The ones you named is just like, who can you name after that?
I try to get Clint Eastwood to come out and do something. You know, Forrest Whitaker. You know, I think he's one of the greatest character actors that I just seen a recent film that he did called Catch 44, which is an excellent movie where he plays like he's like almost like schizophrenic, and he plays three roles. He plays like a Scarface character and. And then he plays almost like an autistic person, and then he also plays like a redneck, you know, with a gun, you know, and it was me. But yeah, those are some of the people that, and I, you know, I could probably think of a few more, you know.
All right.
But yeah,
so I want to try to like get you in there because I also want to talk about your music videos, and we run out of time. But what I want to ask you is first, do you have any up and coming films you directed right now?
Yeah, right now editing a documentary on a legendary international known jazz violinist by the name of Billy Bang. Actually, that's the same cat I used to play with, and he recently passed away last year from lung cancer. So I got 13 top notch musicians to interview, have live footage of Bang in two instances, and a lot of exterior footage, and it tells a story about, to say it like this, basically when you use a gadget, there's a whole lot of things that go on inside the gadget, you know, with circuitry and command and responses that I don't really know the technical names for, but they talk to each other in a language that allows them to work. People don't care about that. All they want to know is when they press talk, it talks, or disconnect,
exactly.
Text. Okay. This is what this Billy Bang movie is about. Basically, there's a language, just like with football, or if you watch Kobe Bryant doing work, you notice athletes also talk to themselves. Well, musicians do the same thing. And we're talking about the mindset and the dynamics of musicians when they talk to one another that make that final product that the audience is not even aware of. And through these 13 men, these 13 prime musicians, these guys break it down so descriptively how they work mentally and their passion, and it all culminates with their love for Billy Bang and an experience of playing with him and different aspects, you know, of how they approached music. A dynamite film. It probably will be screened in October at Lincoln Center, I think. That's something that people have to stay posted on the website or even drop me emails at
you definitely got to let me know what's going on with that.
Oh, absolutely.
You definitely got to let me know. Now,
you'll be there.
Also, I sure will. Just let me know. I'll be right up in there. Now, you also directed some music videos, you know, Shake the City from Indie Production. Tell us a little bit about that.
That was through a concept I had called Industrious Grind, Artists Coming Up. You know, my nephew Shakur hosted. And it was like there were four webisodes which followed this queen's singer and rapper, rock opera, one word, rock opera, as we went through Miami, Brooklyn, and Manhattan, and I call it a shadow series where we follow you around while you're doing different things. He talks to a homeless man, you know, talks about Obama. One of them, Shake the City, was actually shot at the MI6 club, which was a huge club in Miami, Florida. And then Cool was basically shot in Gowanus Projects. And then Medieval Times is a tribute to Haiti, you know, which is a very touching. And what happened was it was a music video compilation. I actually got an award for that too, a Best Video Award, because what happened was my nephew hosted it almost like it was like a Yo MTV type of thing. And so he was like the segue in between the different three music videos. Then you had the webisodes. The webisodes came out first on YouTube. They're still there on Malcolm, YouTube.com, Malcolm Entertainment. You can see those. And then and the actual videos on YouTube too. Yeah,
okay.
that was a great experience, you know, doing that, you know.
Yeah. See, we running out of time. Now, what I want to ask you, Oscar, now, where can your movies be purchased?
When my website is finished, you'll be able to buy them at MalcolmEntertainment.com. Your all information relating to Oscar Sanders or Malcolm Entertainment can be found there. You'll find you Why Hire a Killer. It'll be some clothing, Industrious Grind clothing, and the Billy Bang Long Overdue documentary will be for sale there. You know, so you can hit me up on Twitter, Oscar Sanders, you know, or Facebook.com, Malcolm Entertainment, you know, and or email me, man, and MalcolmEntertainment@yahoo.com. And just stay, you know, stay in contact. And, you know, when that website is up, you know, all that stuff
all right.
is there for people.
Oscar, I really want to thank you for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure,
I mean,
man.
It was
thank
an
you.
Honor having you on. Is there any shout outs you'd like to give or anything like that?
Yeah, all the Team Malcolm Entertainment, you know, so many people that are friends and family, some people that, you know, want to remain, you know, anonymous, but, you know, they're out there, you know, supporting and, you know, might be a little camera shy or talk shy. So, but, yeah, everybody that believes in Oscar Sanders and Malcolm Entertainment, you know, and any new people that, you know, through this conversation or, you know, through talking to me, you know, caught a spark, you know, just, man, just drop me a line, drop me an email, stay in contact, you know. You know, I'm always available to talk. You guys all give me inspiration, man. Keep me going.
Oscar, I really want to thank you again. And I would like to have you back on. We're going to keep in touch and talk to you about that because there's still
okay.
some things that we need to talk about.
Okay.
So I'm definitely going to keep in touch with you because we definitely got to have you back on.
Okay. All right. Anytime, man. I'm ready.
All right, Oz. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you, Rich.
All right. All right, Dons and Divas. That's it for tonight's show. I want to thank Oscar Sanders once again. I want to thank you. I want to thank up-and-coming artists, Busy. I want to thank everyone that tuned in to our tribute to the Notorious B.I.G. I want to thank you, the listeners. I want to thank the callers. But most of all, I want to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Don't forget to check GQ Palace out on Facebook, Twitter, Orchid, Global 14, YouTube, our webpage on Blogger, Tumblr. We on Reverb Nation, SoundCloud, Tweewoo. And don't forget to check out that GQ General Question page on Facebook. I'm your host, Rich Money. I want to wish y'all all a safe and blessed weekend. Hope to hear from y'all next weekend. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment, where dreams come true.
It's fun, baby!
For sure.
I'm living every day like a hustle, another drug and juggle, another day, another struggle. I don't wanna live no more. Sometimes I hear death knocking at my front door. I'm living every day like a hustle, another drug and juggle, another day, another struggle. I know how it feels to wake up, fucked up, pocket broke as hell, another rock to sell. People look at you like you's the user, selling drugs to all the losers, mad Buddha abuser. But they don't know about the stress-filled game. Baby on the way, mad bills to pay. That's why you drink Tangerine, so you can reminisce and wish you wasn't living so devilish. Shit, I remember I was just like you, smoking blunts with my crew, flipping over 62s. Cause GED wasn't B.I.G. I got D.A.I.D. That's why my mom hate me. She was forced to kick me out, no doubt. Then I figured out, six went for 20 down south. Packed up my tools for my raw power moves. Glock 19 for casket and flower moves. But Trump's trying to stop my flow, and what they don't know will show on the autopsy. Winston D. Poppy to cock me a brick. Act with a child and he wasn't trying to hear it. Smoking mad Newports cause I'm doing court for an assault that I caught in Bridgeport, New York. Catch me if you can like the gingerbread man. You better have your cat in hand, cause man, I don't wanna live no more. Sometimes I hear death knocking at my front door. I'm living every day like a hustle, another drug and juggle, another day, another struggle. I don't wanna live no more. Sometimes I hear death knocking at my front door. I'm living every day like a hustle, another drug and juggle, another day, another struggle. I have the master plan, I'm in the caravan on my way to Maryland with my man 2-Tech to take over this project. They call him 2-Tech, he told 2-Tech. And when he starts to bust, he like to act who's next. I got my honey on the Amtrak with the crack in the crack of her ass. 2 pounds of hash in the stash. I wait for honey to make some quick cash.
and the bitch got gas at last. I'm literally lounging black, sitting back, counting double digit thousands back. Had to re-up, see what's up with my feet. I know the dealer gone, had a Jeep on the Jeep. See who got smoked, what rumors were spread. Last I heard I was dead, was sick to the head. Then I got the phone call, it couldn't hit me harder. We got infiltrated, Latino at the Carter. Heard Jack got murdered in the town I never heard of. By some bitch in Alberta over nickel plated burners. And my bitch, swear to God she won't snitch. I told her when she hits the brick to make the hooker rich. Conspiracy, she'll be home in three. Until then I looked out for the whole family. A true G, that's me, blowing like a bubble in the everyday struggle. I don't wanna live no more. Sometimes I hear death knocking at my front door. I'm living every day like a hustle. Another drug to juggle. Another day, another struggle. I don't wanna live no more. Sometimes I hear death knocking at my front door. I'm living every day like a hustle. Another drug to juggle. Another day, another struggle. I'm seeing body after body, and I'm Mayor Giuliani. Ain't trying to see no black man turn to John Gotti. My daughter used a potty, so she's older now. Educated street knowledge, I'm a molder now. Took a little